Gucci-wearing mother...
A bawdy, brightly lit cluster of gambling dens and hot chic prostitution cribs.
So, Lenny, how's it going in Vegas? Pretty boring, I'll bet.
You could come here for a weekend. You can gamble. Leave your wife at home. Do you understand what I mean by that?
This is Las Vegas?
I thought there'd be, like, casinos and lights and stuff. This isn't very good.
The show's hilarious and smart.
Only in Vegas.
Isn't there legalized prostitution?
Not within the city limits, Russ. I'll tell you what there is. First-class entertainment and all the shrimp cocktail you can eat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you smoke pot?
Yes, I do.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend.
Do you smoke marijuana?
Yes.
Pass it over to me.
There are things like bongs. That's B-O-N-G.
Roll another one.
Marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it.
Just like the other one.
I love weed. I love it.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Weed, grass, pot.
Roll another one.
The pot party. The trippers. The grasshoppers.
Just like the other one.
The hip ones. All gathered in secrecy. And flying high as a kite.
I don't have another cent.
Oh man, am I f***ing stoned.
I'm the one smoking marijuana, motherfucker. You got a problem with that?
Just pass it around. But don't that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down.
And now.
Well, Tom, I'm here live in Las Vegas in what is quickly becoming known as the gayest party ever.
Our feature presentation.
Like there was any doubt.
Nobody expected you to be here.
Like there was any doubt in anyone's mind.
You're right. There wasn't any doubt. We were sure you weren't going to make it.
Well, I left him off at 4 a.m., so I don't know if he's coming or not.
Look,
it's not my fault.
We're in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Okay. What?
Now, Dave, the King of Mexico, said, I'm going to bed at midnight.
Which I did.
How many times did he say that?
All the times.
100?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I did.
I'm not going to party. I'm going to bed at midnight.
So it was my job to keep him up. I mean, that's all I cared about at that point.
You sound right. Good.
I know I do.
Yeah, but Kevin, honestly, you said the same thing. Like, earlier on in the evening, you're like, no, it's not going to be a long night for me.
My daughters have soccer.
The best of practice.
This they do, and
so
I'm going.
I need to sleep. It's going to be a long weekend for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be longer than
4 a.m. this morning.
Yeah.
You were aware.
That's when I realized it was going to be the longest day ever.
Because at 4 a.m. this morning.
Where were we, Dave?
Can you hear me? Am I all right?
Can
hear
my
microphone? Okay. Yeah, I can't hear myself.
He's not acknowledging
we
you.
We were at a club where people strip.
Wow. We were at a club where people strip. It's a code.
How is anyone strip figure, club? Figure that out. We may have been, yeah.
So you left there at 4 a.m.
Yes.
And then you got here.
It was the worst thing ever because I got back
5:34 in the morning.
I got back to my room about 45 minutes ago. So it's way too short a time to take a nap.
Right.
So what do? You just sit there.
I know what I do.
I was watching sports.
It involves hand motions.
You could have showered.
I didn't shower.
You smell like whore.
You do.
You have a
you smell like champagne and glitter.
You have a distinct odor of whore about
what
you.
What does whore smell like?
You. Oh. It's 5:35 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, live from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
At the beautiful Luxor Hotel and Casino. Thanks to everybody here at the Luxor. They've just been so good to us the past 24 hours. We're at the Aurora Lounge right there. When you go into the casino, you can't miss us. So, well, it's too late for you to come here now.
Yeah,
but
don't worry.
You can't hear us in Las Vegas. But we're here, and we're having a blast. We had our big Kevin and Bean's singles party last night and
most of this morning.
Everyone seemed to have a very good time last night, as far as I could tell.
What time did you go to bed?
Around 1-ish.
Really?
Yeah.
See, but you did what Dave wanted to do.
I knew I had to. If I didn't get to sleep around 1, I knew I was going to be a mess.
So easy to keep Dave up. I mean, really, how hard is that, really? Come on.
He's developmentally disabled. You can't do anything.
I'm going to go to bed at midnight because I'm responsible.
That's right, because I know.
That's what he said. Yeah.
I'm producer Dave, and I have to take care of you guys. Yeah.
Producer Dan.
And producer Alex is out, so producer Dan has to do all the work. So producer Dan, very, very interested in going to bed at midnight.
Yeah.
So
congrats to both of you. It's going to be a great show.
What?
I think I did a good job.
We're going to... Vegas, Dave. Just what we need.
We're going to... Shut up, Omar. We're going to try and take your phone calls, I think. Like, it doesn't work about 50% of the time when we're in the studio.
I will say everything's been working pretty well this morning.
Okay.
So I feel good.
I wouldn't know that. I just got here. A pair of tickets. A pair of tickets to the NHRA Full Throttle Drug...
Oh, man.
Drag Racing Championship.
Why don't you let me do all the reading
today? November 11th through 14th at the Auto Club Raceway. I'm fine.
Yes. Speed thrills, man.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the number if you want to call. One cycle, Mike.
You just call and we give you those tickets.
What?
You can call about anything.
Everything's going great. You keep going. You keep powering away, Sparky.
Come on now. You got to give me credit for powering through that.
I
ruined it.
I agree. A drug race is a fun time. The NHRA drug race.
Look.
I think I'm competing.
Omar. You're the only person that should have been here that isn't, though.
Yeah,
because
he should not have been.
No,
he should
have. No, those party buses were crazy enough as is. If there was Omar on there, it would have been just a violent. It would have been an orgy of blood and murder.
Yeah. I will tell you that I think, and we'll give you an update after the top of the hour. But I do think more people got thrown out of the party last night than ever before.
This guy did.
Yeah, this
He's
guy
here.
Got thrown out.
Than ever
and well
before.
Deserved, too, you drunk bastard.
I mean, it was like every 5 minutes somebody came and said, so-and-so got thrown
but
out.
But like the hottest chicks got thrown out.
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
What were they doing?
They were fighting with
there
other girls.
There was a
girls.
Cat fight. There was this willowy,
God.
Tall, blonde, beautiful girl who fought Snooki last night for some reason.
Oh.
She was making out with her friend, right? And then all of a sudden, somebody said she grabbed a girl's face and they threw
Snooki
out.
Because Snooki was making comments about
Why
her
was Snooki saying stuff?
Because Snooki's jealous of the beautiful women.
Exactly, because she's built like a fire plug. She was upset that the willowy blonde was getting all the attention.
She was hot, but
I know.
Apparently,
there was a lot of hot chicks on our little tour.
Kicked right out, though.
Yeah.
Been thrown right out.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
You know.
That's when I lost interest in the party.
Wild
1 o'clock when I went to bed.
The wild women.
Ripping in the tear.
They're ripping in the tear.
Ripping in the tear.
All right, time for your phone calls.
We went to a club where they do the thing that is also known as stripping.
Time for the phone calls. Let's do what to do, nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
I already told you about the NHRA thing.
Yes.
You did? The drug
race.
Okay. Yes.
The drug race. All right, let's start with DeJuan. How about that?
Yeah, do it. It's a special day for DeJuan.
So we can make this morning better.
Hey, DeJuan.
Good morning, Kevin Levine. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
How's it going?
All right, tomorrow is my 28th birthday.
28.
Wow. Happy birthday.
What do you have in store? What's the plan, DeJuan?
Tell us the big birthday plan.
Be with my family tomorrow for my birthday dinner. And
okay.
Some of my friends are coming.
Chuck E. Cheese's?
Nope. Romeo's, Matthew Grill, and El Segundo.
All right.
There it is. I left my wallet there. very intentional. Hey, DeJuan, you sent me a beautiful picture of your new hairdo. Is that to celebrate your birthday?
Yep.
Nice.
And
congratulations.
I want to make a birthday wish that I wish I would have met the stars of 90210.
Yeah, right. That's not going to happen.
That's pretty
well, I mean, it's not going to happen tomorrow. We
right.
can't.
That's what I meant.
Right, we can't really just whip that into shit. We wish we could, DeJuan.
Hey, DeJuan, you need to sing happy birthday to yourself, buddy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
DeJuan, how about
you sing happy birthday to everyone else? You need to sing it to yourself.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Say me.
Happy
me.
Birthday to you.
Me.
Happy birthday, dear me.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
Nicely done.
DJ 90210, everybody.
Well
happy
done.
Birthday, DeJuan.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Here's what we know about DeJuan. We love him. But the second we start talking, he's out.
Yeah, he's checked.
He's out. All right, let's go to Bree and see if we can salvage
cool
this.
Cool Breeze?
No, just Bree.
No, just Bree?
I think just Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Is this Bree? What is this, Bree?
Lord, yes, it's Bree. What a dude, yes, you?
What a dude, Bree?
Wait, you're a dude?
No, what a dude.
I know, but you're a dude?
I'm Hawaiian, man. What do you expect? I don't know.
But is your name Bree?
Yes.
And you're a dude?
Yes.
Is it short for something?
No, it's Hawaiian.
Yeah, it's short for Brianna.
It's Hawaiian, he's saying.
Oh. It's Hawaiian.
Oh.
Come on, brah.
Wow.
What do you got for us this morning, Bree? What do you got for us?
Man. Oakland Raiders fan this weekend. Or yeah. Raiders fan Kansas City. The Raiders Galaxy should be excited. Thank God the AFC West is trash. Might have a chance to win this year.
All right, let me ask you a question about the Raiders. Are they just playing over their heads so far, or are they that good?
They are that good.
You're wrong.
That's the wrong answer.
I will say, I mean, look, they've definitely changed the culture of the team this year. I mean, they've got a solid running game. And like you said, the AFC West is super weak.
The culture finally just win, baby?
You know what? It's time to connect to excellence this year. That's
right.
What it is.
Right, connect to excellence.
And,
right.
And not having Jamarcus Russell as your quarterback makes your team infinitely better.
But is it good to have a dude named Bree as your fan?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it'd be better to have a dude named Bree as their fan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no on that one as well.
We'll put down a wager for you here in Vegas, all right, Bree?
All right.
What's the line? What's the line against KC?
I don't know. Big
fan. Okay. Thank you for calling. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beach show, shall
we? Speaking of gambling, we're going to talk to somebody from the sports book.
That's right.
At Luxor, aren't we?
Jay Rude runs it. Yeah. He's the guy who's responsible for all of the lines that they pick for every single sport, which seems impossible.
Those guys are good, though. It's uncanny how good the bookies are, the odds makers are. When they set those lines, invariably, you'll find that it's right there.
Right there. The over-under, everything seems to be right on. And I don't know how they do that, but...
Fixed.
I think they cheat.
Fixed.
Yeah.
It's the mob.
We got the movie beat because it's Friday.
Maybe.
Excellent. Maybe.
Maybe.
We have Adam Carolla because it's Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some bad news.
What?
Adam Carolla canceled.
What?
But it's not my fault.
Producer Dan, what happened?
Not my fault.
Oh, that's what I thought. All right. So that's happening today. And there's a bunch of stuff. We'll get to it later.
Well, why don't you say some of the things that are coming up?
Shut up, Omar. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:49. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
So last night at the party, I'm there at the end of the bar, and suddenly Omar comes out of nowhere, and he's dressed like like one of the dancers, like the burlesque dancers on the stage, with a giant headdress, and he's got like a bustier on, and he's shaking his ass, and he hops behind the bar, and he starts saying, "Blow for everybody," and he's put a big rail of cocaine up and down the bar, and he starts snorting it, and he's rubbing his butt in people's faces and everything.
Why was he doing
that? He was dancing, he had like maracas, and he was singing Copacabana, and then he stripped off everything except for the headdress.
Right. Why just the headdress?
I have no idea, but then he doused himself in 151 Bacardi and lit his nipples on fire, which I thought was just completely out of line.
Ralph.
Yes, what, Omar? I'm trying to tell a story here.
That wasn't me. I'm back here at the studio.
You mean you're not in here in Las Vegas at the Luxor having a good time?
No.
Who was that? Yeah, we can't take Omar anymore.
Yeah, we can't take Omar anymore.
There's a reason we make those jokes, and it's because it's not far from reality.
No. That's what happened on St. Patrick's Day. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Apparently, Charlie Sheen and Capri Anderson, that story is the gift that keeps on giving. There's another battle going on. Capri is furious with Charlie because when he was looking for his watch that he thought she allegedly had stolen, remember when he was tearing up that hotel room?
Right.
He tore into her $1,600 handbag.
Oh, no.
And destroyed
it. Didn't.
Listen, one thing you do not do is F with a girl's handbag.
That is so true.
But wait, I thought she was afraid for her life. Wasn't that the first story?
Well, she found the Prada bag on the floor after she got out of the bathroom. When she locked herself in, he was tearing everything up, started going through her purse looking for his watch, tore the purse, destroyed it. She came out after security arrived, went to get her Prada bag, which cost $1,600, and found it was destroyed beyond repair.
But here's my thing. If you know the guy's flipping out over his $200,000 Patek Philippe watch, do you really care about your $1,600 bag? Because you know he'll just buy you 10.
But will he?
But
he's
will
not
he?
That's
the question.
Anything.
I don't think so. You've done that a lot, Mike?
No, but I'm thinking, like, I'm just saying, like, you know you're working with a guy who throws money around like crazy.
Charlie's manager said, regarding the allegation that Charlie destroyed her handbag, that it wasn't true, but maybe she can get a Prada sponsorship out of this. So, maybe,
well,
you know, maybe she can come from
this. Well, at least they're working with her.
That's true.
Right. That's good. The Bad Girls Club. That's one of Dave's favorite shows.
Oh, yeah.
Bad
Girls Club. Yeah.
That show really is gold.
Apparently, one of the girls is living up to the name of that show. Katya Washington is her name. She's from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I couldn't be more proud.
Sure.
She was arrested yesterday for illegally possessing cocaine, mushroom, ecstasy, and one handgun they found in her purse while they were going through it.
She had everything.
She is a bad girl.
She really had everything.
It is the Bad Girls Club, and she is the president. Apparently, they booked her on 5 different charges, including possession with intent to manufacture or deliver. Omar, you know that one, don't you?
Yeah.
Possession of drug paraphernalia and a possession of an instrument of crime.
Ooh. Instrument of crime.
That's a great charge.
Huh.
The instruments of crime, by the way. I saw them at the Troop last night. They were amazing. She is still behind bars with a $500,000 bail hanging over her head.
Have you ever watched the Bad Girls Club?
I have never seen an episode.
It is a dozen Snookies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just the you can't imagine.
No, it's worse because these Snooki kind of is putting on a show sometimes. These girls are real muchachas malas. Like, these are bad girls.
That's why it's the bad girl club.
These girls, they do not.
They don't call it the good girl club,
no,
Mike.
This is not an ill-named show,
right,
is what I'm saying.
No, Mike's right. Snooki is super classy. Compared to these girls.
These girls will knock you out. They'll shank you. I mean, they are mean, mean chicks.
Well, they're carrying cocaine, mushrooms, ecstasy, and guns.
And,
so.
And instruments of crime.
Yes. Oh, I got bad news for Psycho Mike.
What?
Oh. Apparently, Vanessa Minnillo
is
no longer on the market. Oh. Nick Lachey proposed to Vanessa this week. And they made an announcement to Us Weekly magazine saying they're incredibly excited and happy. Look forward to a wonderful life together. The sound you hear is Jessica Simpson hanging herself.
She is super duper hot, Minnillo. I just hope that once those naked pictures of her surfaced, that she realized the bush is not okay in 2010.
I don't know that that's... I think that's a new trend, and I hope
it
not.
It is starting to come back.
That is BS.
Sasha Gray is bringing it back single-handed.
We need to stop that. How do we stop that?
What are you clapping over there for, Producer Dan?
We need to stop the low
throw. Let's do this.
We need to stop the low fro. We really do.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's making the comeback. I really don't.
Dave, why are you happy?
I don't know. It's just something different, dude. Everyone has a shape, so why not something new?
Because it's bad.
Dave's all over that.
Well, what do I know?
You know what?
I don't know.
Everyone has two arms, too. It doesn't mean someone should cut one off just because it's different. Come on now.
Well, maybe we should start trying
think.
That.
I'm just saying.
It's an analogy.
I'm just saying.
All right, maybe it wasn't good. But.
No, it was strong. You and Dave should do your own show this morning. It's very entertaining. Demi Lovato.
Cutter.
Got some issues.
Fat.
She's not fat. See, it's people like you who caused her to get into therapy. But apparently, there was an incident that caused her to deal with her anger issues. TMZ.com says while she was on tour with the Jonas Brothers concert, she punched out one of her backup dancers. A girl named Alex Welch. She believed that Alex ratted her out. Apparently, it was made public that Demi was partying at some club on tour at some point. She's only 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
and so management found out, and they called her on the carpet about it and said, you can't do that, blah, 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 Disney, blah, blah, blah. She thought Alex was the one who ratted her out, and so she punched her backstage and apparently gave her quite the nasty black eye.
Right.
And it was at that point that everyone realized Demi Lovato needed some help, and they got her into therapy.
They should get her into the Bad Girls Club.
They should. They should give her an awesome instrument of crime.
Fit right in.
She should handle herself. Courtney Cox and David Arquette are still split up, and I think they're going to stay that way. In Touch magazine's got a story where David Arquette was recently seen partying, swigging champagne out of a bottle, dancing with several topless midget strippers. He's enjoying his singlehood when he's partying with the midget strippers.
He just burst out once he got separated, didn't he?
He sure did.
It isn't enough that they're topless strippers. They have to be midgets.
Yeah,
that's
what makes it
awesome.
All the more special. That's the only thing we're missing from our party last night, I think, was midget strippers. John Legend. God love him. He is so funny. He told Us Weekly magazine that recently at an event, the situation came up to him.
Yes.
And told him that he was his fashion icon.
Oh, no.
That he patterned his look after John Legend's look.
Wait. Time out, Ralph. I hate to interrupt, but as the guy on the staff that is way, way, way too into men's fashion, I will tell you, no semblance
no
between
connection,
how,
right?
I mean, John Legend
yes,
dresses
Mike.
So classy and so nice. How can he say that?
I don't know, but John Legend said, if that was the case, I must be doing something wrong.
All right.
He
good.
Said, so,
that's
God
true.
Bless him. And Kanye West has beat a lawsuit that was filed against him by Suge Knight. A federal judge in Miami tossed the $1 million lawsuit yesterday that claimed Kanye was responsible for Suge getting shot in the leg at a party that was hosted by Kanye back in 2005. The judge ruled there was no way anyone could have predicted that a shooting would take place.
Wait a minute.
Really?
Suge Knight was at a party?
At a party? I think it's about a 78% chance that a shooting would take place. Suge would catch a slug. So someone should have known something. And lastly, NBC has pulled the plug on J.J. Abrams' spy series, Undercovers. I don't know if you saw any of that.
It was people warned me off.
I don't know anything about it.
It was Mr. and Mrs. Blacksmith.
No.
So that they were like a husband and wife, and yeah. they were like spies undercover.
Has it been on?
Yes, yes, it has been on, and no one watched. So yeah. NBC has announced that they are going to pull it. So
they gave it had a good run.
It did.
I didn't know it was on.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Tilda Swinton, one of Kevin's favorites. She is 50 years old today. She's not a man.
She's a dude.
Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 23 years
woman.
Old today. Ryan Adams is 36
yeah.
today, Canadian. Whereas Brian Adams is
really?
51 years
it's
old.
It's both of their birthdays?
Ryan Adams and Brian Adams both come celebrate a birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I have to wait for the song to completely fade because I can't be heard. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:03.
We are live from Las Vegas, Nevada, here at the beautiful Luxor Hotel
yeah.
and Casino. Directly in the center of the pyramid. We're here at the Aurora Lounge just having a blast. Last night was the Kevin and Bean Vegas Road Trip Singles Party, which we had here at the Cat House Club here at the Luxor. And everyone who won tickets to the party got on a bus in San Dimas. And
at noon,
and busted out here to Las Vegas. And Dave, the King of Mexico, was our chaperone for that bus trip.
Yeah, party.
You bring it to life, Dave.
He does bring it to life. Tell us about the guy that passed. There was a guy, and this always happens, and we warn people ahead of time. Don't be a lame drinker. You're going to be there for 2 days. You don't have to just power it down.
Well, the problem is when you're on a bus for 5 hours to Vegas, there is nothing else to do.
Of course, but
drink.
Right, but you know that you have a party that night. You're going to be there the next day.
Right.
Take it easy.
Well, I hear you.
This guy was not a small man. And he walks in. He's like, hey, you want Patron? You want Patron? And turns out he drinks a Patron bottle by himself.
Straight.
And we tell him, listen, Patron's going to win every time.
Yeah. He's drinking from the bottle, right?
Oh, yeah. And sure enough, about after Barstow, he's passed out with his mouth open. Everyone's taking pictures.
Everybody's taking pictures and posing with him. And yeah. People are pouring stuff in his mouth.
Yeah, some guy poured beer in his mouth and he drank it like a champ. It was awesome.
Yeah, drinks in his sleep. That's kind of professional drinker here.
He was passed out and drank the beer, no problem.
Yeah, so.
And then showed up at the party last night.
That was what I was amazed at. I heard all the stories. I saw the pictures of him just being dead to the world. He showed up at the party.
And then I saw him on the elevator down to this broadcast.
He was up this morning?
He was at the Excalibur. Where
that
I was.
Guy rules.
I know.
How is that possible?
He's a champ. He's a real champ. He promised me when I left the singles party. He's like, I'll be there for the broadcast.
I know, and everyone says that.
And I was like, no, you won't, dude. And
Kevin said. Remember Kevin said, I'll be there for the broadcast?
And he lied. And close to 4 a.m. this morning, I'm coming down here, and I see him. He's right there just drinking.
Well, where is he now?
Wandering around. He was wandering around the casino.
Oh, he was still?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. What about the bus driver? Tell us about the bus driver. That had to be like the best ride the bus driver every day.
Are you kidding me? It would be loud, miserable.
Yeah, it was loud, and I couldn't even hear myself talk, and let alone the bus driver talk. But he got a little surprise, and one of the hot girls on the bus decided to give him a lap dance while he's driving.
Come on.
Come on.
That sounds safe.
Yeah, no kidding.
Shut up, Lisa.
The guy in charge.
As a traffic reporter, I must object.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, I will bet my golden pylon that he shouldn't be doing that.
As a boner possessor, I don't object.
Yeah. It is a little scary to think that the guy's in charge of 50 lives and he's getting a lap dance right then.
Speaking of hot chicks, wasn't there some girl-on-girl action on your bus too, Dave?
That same girl was, getting some little scissoring action.
It was take it easy. We still have the same rules we had before.
Was she drinking Cizerup?
Cizerup? Come on.
You can say that.
All right. She was making out with her friend.
Yeah, she was.
And they were interlocked at some point in the afternoon.
Their legs interlocked, and they had
fun. Was that Lacey Underalls? Was that who that was?
Yes, it was.
She was great last night. So she was a lot of fun.
And she's the one that got in a fight.
With Snooki.
With Snooki during our party and then got kicked out. And that was only halfway through the party.
It was
pretty early.
But these people, I mean, they were going. I thought for sure they're going to pass out by Baker. Nope. All the way till we got here.
Yeah.
They were partying.
Yeah.
And I said, well, they're not going to make the party.
sure enough,
they show
everyone
up.
Was there. I was like, wow.
Remember the last guy we let in yesterday with the Lick Lisa Vegas edition?
Yes.
Our fireman friend?
And off the air, I was saying there's no way the guy we let in today will make it.
Yeah.
Because it was 7:30 in the morning, and then
speaking of the devil, there he is now.
He's supposed to meet at noon. There he is.
Yeah.
That's the last guy we let in. First guy on the bus. First guy to hook up on the bus. Cool guy.
That guy's Superman.
He is Superman.
He pulls me aside last night at the party. He goes, yeah, the bus trip was great. We made a little pit stop. We went to McDonald's. So we all got out of it at McDonald's. And I said to Dave, you know, it was really cool that break you did on the McRib the other day. It was really cool because I love the McRib, and that was really cool you did. And Dave looked at McDonald's and said, yeah, I should get one. I should go get a McRib. No, that's too far.
Oh. Wait, how far was it?
Like 25 feet away. Dave decided he couldn't make the trek over to McDonald's that they were parked in front of to get a McRib.
I didn't want to walk all the way over to
yesterday.
You were there parked at McDonald's.
Yesterday, he would have climbed Mount Everest to get to one of those sandwiches. Now he can't go 20 feet.
It's too far.
I should go.
I don't want to get the sauce on my bow tie.
He had a bow tie last night.
By the way,
we got some photos of Dave dressed as Louis Farrakhan.
Ripped.
Hey, listen, Farrakhan. We need a ruling. Lisa?
Yes.
You're a chick, sort of, right?
More than sort of.
I'm pretty sure she's
100% chick.
Dude with a cardigan sweater.
A Mr. Rogers cardigan.
And a matching gray bow tie.
Just giant douche.
Wait, time out, though.
Whoa.
I have to interrupt Lisa here because she's the one who is pushing for us to let the guy in with the suspenders and the MC Hammer pants.
Super nice guy, by the way.
All right, bring in our intern. Let's ask her. I want to get to the second on this. Let's get Savon in there because Dave was just swearing by it. He's like, all the ladies love it.
Kevin, how many people came up to you and said the bow tie rips?
Yeah, they.
I had nothing to do with that.
Dave would say, go tell Kevin that my bow tie ripped.
The bow tie is in, quote unquote, in, but I don't know. It's really a hit or miss on who can pull it off.
Dave looked like a hairy penguin last night. penguin, by the way, is a sex trick. You don't want to try it.
No,
I'm just saying I rocked it. That's it.
Our same fireman friend said to Dave, does that bow tie really work with the ladies? If I wanted it to.
What does that mean?
I guess he wasn't interested in ladies last night.
What do you mean if I wanted it to?
You know.
No, I don't know.
If I want to turn it on, it's on. If not, it's cool.
Why do you?
Ask Savannah.
Why would
question,
you not
you
want
guys.
To turn it on?
All right, Savannah's our intern. She's in the studio now?
Yeah.
Savannah. Right,
Savannah. Yes. Gray cardigan sweater.
Mr. Rogers like.
Over a black shirt with a matching gray
black
bow tie.
Black collar shirt.
Okay. Is it like a black polo or is it a button down?
No. It's a button down.
By the way, it's a gray button down.
No, black button down.
Gray sweater, black button down dress shirt, gray bow tie.
No, he's a douche.
Yeah. Okay, that's what we thought.
Let me just say, Savant's friend is that guy. So
that's a good point.
That's true. The drunk guy who got thrown out of the party last night is Savant's friend.
That's her friend.
It's a wash.
All right, do we have to get Chip in here now?
Get Chip in.
Bring
Chip in. This is important because all the guys out there that think the bow tie is coming back, trust us when we say no.
Ask her. Giant mistake.
Ask her.
Giant mistake. Okay, yeah. Chip, are you in there?
All right, here's Chip.
Yeah. All right, Chip.
Chip. Gray cardigan sweater, black button-down dress shirt, matching gray bow tie.
He's awesome. He should do it every day. Thank you, Chip.
Totally
thank you.
Dave,
thank you, Chip.
Be quiet.
G-A-Y.
Thank you.
Three for three, Dave.
Well, they don't count. They didn't see it.
Yeah. We don't
ask that girl.
I don't
ask that girl.
If I wanted it to.
Ask me.
All right, listen, we're broadcasting from Las Vegas. We're at the Luxor Las Vegas, and we will be live, and we'll return on the Kevin and Bean Show next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 19 minutes after 6 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from Las Vegas.
Who's standing next to me? What's this all about?
Yeah. Who's that dude?
What do you think? Who do you think it is? It's a king of Hollywood, king of Las Vegas. Oh, Spence,
dog. Spencer Pratt.
Make it rain champagne, kid. Rat-a-tat-tat.
It's funny you would be here, Spencer, because...
You know what's funnier? That we told Omar to play the Spencer theme.
I know. I was powering through. He already missed it.
All right. Okay.
You guys didn't do a really great job of setting everything up.
No. Okay? No way you could have told that.
All right. I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain. Some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their...
in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Hey, Omar, it's not your fault. You're a minority. Sick.
Spencer.
Yes? Yes, sir?
Of all people, you probably are the last person who should be in Las Vegas.
Why do you say that, Ronald?
Because it's Ralph, first of all. And secondly, we've all read in the news this week that you and Heidi have burned through the $10 million that you had, and now you're broke.
Oh, that's all lies, kid. You've never been doing better.
Not only did
you
spend...
In fact, I'm so rich the IRS owes me money. Ha.
Not only did you spend all $10 million, but you owe the IRS $2
million. Yeah. $2 million in back taxes.
It depends on how you look at it, you know, because people talking prosciutto, it's clearly salami time, baby.
What?
What does that mean?
Neckbeard technique.
The IRS is saying you owe them $2 million. This is the day we've all been waiting for, by the way.
It's
for Spencer
and
Heidi.
That's just paperwork.
No, no.
It is paperwork. They could put a lien on your anything that you own.
Oh, I bet you're a big Lee Marvin fan.
I do like Lee Marvin. But they say that you owe them $2 million in back taxes. You've got no place to live now, and you're living in an apartment on your father's property.
That's right.
With your parents. You're living back with your parents again.
That part is true. It's not that I've jettisoned my Malibu Mizzy mansion.
Well, you
have. It's not
that
I've gotten rid of the Spence Dog 1, my diamond-plated helicopter.
You've gotten rid of all of it.
It's not like I don't have my Beverly Hills flat.
You're bankrupt.
It's just that I wanted to try to get in touch with the regular man, and I'm doing quotes here,
yes,
because I'm preparing for a role.
A role?
Spidey. Yes, that's right. Spidey will be starring in a new movie. That's right. My beautiful Aryan queen Heidi and I are working on a role for our new movie where we play regular people. So
right.
I just thought I'd get into character and live like you know, how Mexicans and black people do.
Right. Did you tell Life and Style magazine, quote, "We were immature, worrying too much about fame instead of the business part"?
That did come into play, Ken Dog.
Okay.
It's tough sometimes, you know, when you're making $440 trillion a year like I was.
You weren't.
And, you know, you're just, you own
what
the Playboy
What was that number
mansion,
again you were making?
$422 trillion, I believe.
Okay. Trillion.
And, look, when you're Bilbo Baggins, like I am.
You're not Bilbo Baggins. It's a fictional character from The Hobbit. You're not him.
When you're Billy Gibbons' agent. And you're a high-powered mover and shaker.
Billy Gibbons.
It's hard.
Did you just make a ZZ Top reference?
I think I did, kid. I'm a sharp-dressed man, but that's neither here nor there. Remember that at the end of the day, I've got so many projects on my hands, I can't be really worrying about money and the material things. I've got my movie to concentrate
on
right now.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for, because you had $10 million.
Yes.
You thought the hills would last forever.
Yes.
You spent it all.
That's right.
And you owe the IRS $2 million.
Oh, come on now. Don't get on my case. Right now, I'm
just asking you if that's accurate.
I'm working on a new product with Billy Zane, and we're going to have it out on the market.
Billy Zane.
That's right.
Legendary inventor Billy Zane.
And wait till you see my new comic book, The Cherubic Poop Shoot.
I saw the Mustang. They played at LAX after the singles party.
Is that a superhero, the Cherubic Poop Shoot?
Right, the Cherubic Poop Shoot. He's a finely waxed bowling alley of a butt plug, and he goes around saving lives with his waxy surface.
What
kid.
Are you doing here?
Huh?
You're broke.
Yeah, why are you in Vegas?
What are you doing in Vegas?
What? You're... I'm here with Bronson Pinchot making it rain.
Bronson Pinchot.
Rat-a-tat-tat, it's Spencer Brad coming at you, unless you're fat.
Can you make it rain if you're broke?
I can.
How?
Because I make it rain.
You
well,
don't.
I make it rain.
With what?
With my diamond sweat.
You said in this article.
Rhinestones on my chest, kid. I'm just trying to expand my church, our dog.
In hindsight.
I set up the Church of Sick out there in Malibu, and people come and they pray to the triumvirate of all that is holy.
In hindsight.
Von Dutch, Affliction, Ed Hardy up above, to whom I pray. I was lost, but now I'm found.
In hindsight, we shouldn't have spent any money. We should have been low-key and saved. I've looked into bankruptcy and unemployment checks.
Well, I collect money from wherever you can.
But
you're
getting unemployment?
Huh?
Are we paying for you now?
Probably.
Well, that's
you know
the
what
worst
I'm saying?
Thing possible.
You've been paying all your money for my top-notch entertainment for years now. Why not just give me your tax money too, kid? I collect it. I'm like that guy with the money bag on the board game.
On Monopoly?
Yeah.
You're like that guy.
Sick. What are you doing in Vegas?
Getting rhinestones on my chest.
Seriously.
I'm here with my friend Chris Angel. Luxor, recognize?
You're not gambling. Are you gambling?
I don't have to gamble. They just, when I go up to a table, they throw money at me because they're like, uh-oh, Spence dog, you're like James Bond number one, but you're better because you're American. Ah, red, white, and blue.
What's he talking about?
I got a thimble, kid.
I tuned out at the Cherubic Poop Shoot.
Cherubic Poop Shoot should be in theaters this 2012.
All right, good.
August.
All right.
Starring myself.
Best of luck, Spencer.
We have some new music for you, I believe.
I'm a bandolero.
Okay, you're not a bandolero. You're not at all.
Yes.
We have some new music for you. I believe Michael Jackson has a new song.
He does?
And I believe Kim Kardashian has a song.
Oh, her? She's so fat.
What's wrong with you?
Disgusting.
Well, we'll check out those
80
songs.
Pounds overweight.
She still has a show.
That's right. She still does. But at the end of the day,
okay.
I collect Jimmy Carter's butt nuggets.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're broadcasting live from Las Vegas this morning from Luxor, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Where we had our singles party last night.
Also want to give mad props to Due Date. The movie that opens up today because they were also one of the sponsors of our singles party, starring Clark Duncan, Robert Downey Jr., and Zach Galifianakis, which opens today as well.
By the way, both those guys, two of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah. It's good to be sponsored by a movie that we love, love, love. So.
Exactly, so we can say nice things and mean it.
Thank you to them. We got some new music for you now. I believe Kim Kardashian is recording a new album.
Well, we just talked about this week in Showbiz Beat that she wants to be an artist now. She wants to be a musician. She wants to sing. And so she is working on an album as we speak. She's in the studio. And I can't believe how quickly the first track that she's been working on has been leaked on the internet. But apparently it's all over the place. It's a song called Shake. And I think we have it there. Omar's got it in the studio. Lights on. Sparkles in your eyes. Turn the lights on. It's clear to see that I got your attention. Your eyes are screaming, baby, give me more, more. You like the way I move it, move it. I'm wearing your shoe and teach you. Some way it's hard if we miss. What you want, some what you need. And I will follow through. You know what they should do? They should use the auto-tune.
No, on that. I don't think they did.
Don't you think they
I
should,
don't think they did. I think
they should take
her voice
and they should use the auto-tune a little. I've never heard a song more auto-tune than that.
It's pretty.
But it sounds like Britney to me.
It does.
It sounds fine. And when the video goes with it, it'll be fantastic because she's Kim Kardashian.
But that's better than I expected it to be, quite frankly.
How is it not with 100% auto-tune?
You're exactly right. And I think, if I remember correctly, she got like a really good production team. It was like The Matrix or one of those guys, like the super, super well-known production team.
Those of you that don't know the auto-tune, it can literally take somebody who can't sing and put it right on pitch. Perfectly.
But you sound like everybody else.
Well, of course, but you look like Kim Kardashian.
Special. True.
That song sounded exactly like Beyonce's Beautiful Nightmare song.
Okay, Dave.
All right. Not so much from you. All right, let's hear a little more. Let's hear a little more Kim Kardashian. Let's hear just a little bit more of that. This is Britney. That is Britney. You're right.
Absolutely Britney.
That's crap.
But I like it.
But what, Omar?
That's crap.
It is, of course. But
why is it crap, Omar?
The video's going to be good.
Yeah. Why is it crap? Are you listening to that?
No. Yeah, but I'm saying
what's wrong with music today, dude. That's going to hit the radio waves and people are going to like it.
Take it easy.
It's not the Glee cap, okay?
I'm telling you.
I'm saying, as in the world of like dance music and that kind of frothy pop dance music, it's fine.
In that meaningless pop dance world.
Yes.
It's okay.
It's fine. No,
but Omar's looking at it from a perspective of like an actual music critic for real music.
And right, well,
in
don't do that.
In that category, it is crap.
Right.
But if you, like you guys are saying, designing something for, you know, LAX here at the Luxor, for people to just mindlessly dance to, it's fine.
Listen, this is the
Carson
Kim Kardashian
Daly
world.
Will never stop playing it over at Amp. That's all I'm saying.
That is
but
true.
But if you were to tell me Kim Kardashian's recording a song, that's better than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm surprised.
But again, they did use it's robotic. I mean, it's not her at all.
It makes me want to shake my groove thing. That's all I know.
You want to do that at all times anyway.
Yes, I do.
It makes you want to get some Dracar.
It does.
So that's
a cell phone.
That's new music from Kim Kardashian called Shake. Michael Jackson is coming out with a new album.
Well, you know, Cirque du Soleil, which of course is a huge presence here in Las Vegas, they are putting together the Michael Jackson show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, instead of parking it here in Vegas, they're going to take it on like a 30-city tour, I believe, starting next year. And they're going to release a new album of previously unreleased music from Michael just before Christmas. I think December 14th it goes on.
When he passed away, they said they had hundreds of tracks that were unreleased.
Some of these new tracks are going to be in that Cirque du Soleil show dedicated to Michael Jackson. And so they put an album together that Sony is going to be releasing with a whole bunch of new Michael tracks. Newly compiled recordings from Michael Jackson. Songs that he most recently created, along with tracks that Michael had a desire to bring to fruition, it says here. And
correct me if I'm wrong, he hasn't made good music since,
in my opinion, 83.
1984 was Thriller, I think. And then from then on, it was all bad.
Apparently, one of the tracks is called Breaking News, and it has been leaked on the internet as well.
Oh.
So we also have some new Michael Jackson music for you.
Here we go.
That's a different
thing. He's back.
No auto-tune on this.
That's true.
Voice is deep.
Yeah! It's got a good hook.
I think that's Janet. I think Janet sings this part.
Is this a duet?
Yeah. With all the Jacksons that's are on this.
Clearly Reeby.
This is a real song.
This is Tito.
Yeah!
Those lyrics, man.
Yeah. You can barely understand what he's saying, though. Right?
So much propofol.
He recorded this while on propofol. It should be called propofol.
He actually brought Dr. Conrad Murray on the track. You can hear him in the back.
He's playing the bongos. Sounds like he's got a kid on his face.
But that never happened. So that can't possibly be true.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
All right, listen.
Anyway, we couldn't find that clip.
We can't find the Michael Jackson song.
Naturally, went to the default mode, which is Chacarone.
Now, before all of you email us, because every single time we play this, people email us and say, what was that? Go to YouTube. Type in Chacarone, Chacarone, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it'll come up.
I'm pretty sure that's not
how you spell it. I don't know how it's spelled. Just spell it close and it'll come up.
Put in the words
Chacarone.
And YouTube.
And I think his name is El Chumbo or something like that.
Yeah, that
all
is
right.
It. Yeah,
there you go. So search for it on
El
YouTube.
Chumbo Wumbo.
So leave us alone and go to YouTube and find it. It's the new Michael
or
Jackson song.
Kevin@krock.com. You can email him. He'll tell you.
Right. It's Kevin and Bean Show. We will be back from Las Vegas after this. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 6:52. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from Las Vegas. Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
We're at the lovely Luxor Hotel and Casino, and this is just a very impressive joint.
It is?
Yeah.
You know, it's a giant pyramid.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's true. So bizarre.
2 million watts at the top there.
That's right. That light.
I hear that's
2 million watts.
And you can see it from the moon.
Let's take a look at the Showbiz News. You know, 10 miles into space, you can read a newspaper from its light.
How do they know that?
Because someone did it.
Tried to read a newspaper 10
Buzz
miles
Buzz Aldrin
in space.
Read a newspaper 10 miles in space. The light from the Luxor.
Buzz.
Showbiz News, NBC has canceled Undercovers.
Oh, man. That was... What? What's that?
This was a spy series by J.J. Abrams with two African-American leads, and everyone was hailing it as being a diverse show because the leads were black. However, it only started with about 8.5 million viewers in its premiere, and the numbers have been progressively falling since, and it was canceled because apparently it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
The leads' names, by the way, were Boris Kodjo and Mugu Mbatha Raw.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Boris Kodjo and Gugu Mbatha Raw.
Gugu?
Wait, her name is Gugu?
G-U-G-U.
That's Gugu.
Gugu Mbatha Raw. Yeah. To which I'm saying they're not even trying. There used to be a day when actors would change their names to something we could all pronounce. You know,
hey, we can pronounce Gugu.
If they don't want us to know their names, then they should get out of show business. That's all I'm saying.
Gugu.
Gugu Mbatha Raw. She does good work.
She's a doll.
Pearl Jam's going to release yet another live album. They should release more bootlegs and live albums.
They should. They don't do enough of that.
They really don't. This one's called Live on 10 Legs, and it's due out January the 18th of next year. 18 tracks were recorded on the road from 2003 to 2010. You can pre-order the CD if you're so inclined at pearljam.com.
They have taken away the bootleg market, though, of Pearl Jam.
That's true.
They just put everything out.
Everything ever recorded on them. Eddie, why do you release so many live albums? What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. was motivated to release a lot of music because right now there's probably 500,000 children starving in Somalia.
What does that do with the music?
Well, if you're comfortable living in a world where people are being murdered for blood diamonds, that's your problem.
I'm sorry I asked.
Came to Vegas here to party, and I want to talk about the Sandinistas in South America being murdered for
Nick Lachey and Vanessa Manillo are engaged. Issued a statement to Us Weekly announcing their engagement, gushing that they're excited, incredibly happy, and looking forward to a wonderful 2 or 3 years together before they get a hideous and painful divorce.
At least they're realistic.
See that in the story.
No, it says wonderful life together, but I'm just filling in the blanks. Right. Speaking of engaged, Leanne Rimes and Eddie Cyprian are engaged. This is the two people. Remember, she's a country western singer, big star.
Super young.
She started super young. She's not so young anymore.
Right.
They met on a TV movie and both left their respective spouses. Ooh. And started an affair and got together. So
he's too good looking for her.
Is he?
Yeah, she needs a good cut, man.
Usually,
she needs that frozen thing.
She's got those big swole eyes. Yeah. You really can't see her.
You
eyes
just don't often see that mismatch going in that direction where the guy is super hot and the chick is lackluster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But we also don't notice when the guys are super hot, man.
Dude, he's beefy, bro. Right,
take it easy.
Speaking of good-looking dudes, James Franco.
Oh yeah,
was late to his premiere of 127 Hours, but at least he had a good reason. Here's another reason James Franco's better than us. He had a seminar for a class at Yale that he couldn't miss. He is currently studying at Yale University, and so he had to finish the seminar before he could leave and run off to the red carpet of his movie premiere. That was his day.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
So he showed about 20 minutes late, but he stopped and signed autographs for everybody and was just generally better than us.
He's going to Yale.
Yep.
And he went to a class instead of a red carpet.
But then he went to his red carpet afterwards. Wow. Spider-Man, the musical. You know, Bono and The Edge did the music for this show. It was supposed to open on November the 14th, but they have pushed it back yet again. This musical has been delayed for years.
It's like the fourth or fifth time.
They really shouldn't bother. This is just not going to fly.
And that's Lisa. She'll see anything.
Yeah. But this has just got the smack of death all over it.
The smack of death?
The smack of death. The smack of defeat. I don't know.
I don't know what the smack of defeat is either. I think maybe you should eliminate the smack.
It's got a smack of something.
New York Times says the $60 million musical.
Whoa! Wow, that is the smack of death.
It will be pushed back 2 weeks. And so the opening night will be sometime in January now, instead of December 21st.
I'd like to suggest it's never going to open. I'd like to say it really isn't.
Well, here's the thing. If you are pushing back beyond the holiday season, which is the big time for money making on Broadway, if you're pushing it beyond that, you're going to start at the beginning of next year, it's really got to have some problems. They really must be concerned about this thing.
Right, and I'm saying they're going to announce in the next month that it's just not going to happen ever. They're just going to give up.
Speaking of Spider-Man, new casting news for the Spider-Man movie that's rebooting the franchise. Of course, Andrew Garfield has been cast as Spidey. Emma Stone will play his girlfriend. Gwen Stacy and Reese Evans will be playing the movie's villain, the Lizard. Now they've cast his Uncle Ben and Aunt May.
The Lizard's uncle?
No, Spider-Man's Uncle Ben. You remember Uncle Ben was the one who got shot by the criminal?
Makes great rice, that guy.
I don't remember that at all.
Put that in the file.
Please do.
Don't you remember in the movie he dresses up and he goes to wrestle that guy to make money and he doesn't stop the guy, the criminal, from escaping and he shoots his Uncle Ben as like a carjacking?
It's pretty hazy.
Oh, Kevin.
Sorry.
Anyway, are you kidding me? Why do you even keep asking Kevin these questions?
Sorry. Martin Sheen is going to play his Uncle Ben in the movie.
Oh, wow.
And Sally Field will be playing his Aunt May.
Sally Field from Brothers and Sisters?
Stop it. We know what Johnny Depp's next
smack of death on. I know that.
Smack of defeat. Johnny Depp's next movie has been announced. He's got a bunch in the pipeline, but the first one he'll be working on is a remake of the old TV show Dark Shadows.
Oh, that's dope.
I don't know that one. What is it?
Dark Shadows was a vampire daytime soap opera.
I kind of remember that.
It was on ABC for like 5 years. It was
daytime.
It was like General Hospital style soap opera,
but vampires.
It was a gothic soap opera.
Very dark.
It was wildly popular in the 60s and early 70s.
Johnny Depp's in it. I mean,
he's going to be playing Barnabas Collins, the head vampire.
from the TV series that ran from 1966 to 1971. It's still got a hardcore sort of cult following to it.
Wow.
And he's going to be playing the lead. Tim Burton's going to direct.
Of course. Cool.
Sounds like it could be potentially very entertaining.
If it's Johnny Depp, it's Tim Burton.
That's true. Those guys like to work together.
That works.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we?
Look at Dave. Dave's asleep.
What's Dave doing?
He passed out.
He's got his head down on the computer.
I'm so tired.
Oh, I'm teared.
I went to the club.
Michael, push him over.
Where they do the strip.
He's awake now. We unfortunately awakened him. But yeah. Look at him. Look at him. He
You're
can barely
a mess.
Omar, he can't hold his head up.
That's awesome. Cut, man.
Oh, no.
That's sad.
Dave. You're our producer. And you're sleeping with your head on the table.
Everything's ready to go.
Producer,
you're ready
good.
To go.
All good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Tilda Swinton is 50 years old today. Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 23. Ryan Adams celebrates his 36th. Why are you cheering for Ryan Adams?
I love Ryan Adams.
Why?
Because he's an amazing musician. I love his music.
I love his music. What did you do?
I love Ryan Adams.
He doesn't even drink and you sound bad this morning.
He doesn't need to put out 100 songs a year, though.
No.
Right?
You're right. Yeah. He could tone it back a bit, right. But I'm a fan.
Isn't he married to him anymore?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Dave.
He's 36 years old, and Bryan Adams is 51 years old today. Legendary Canadian songster.
Sure.
Bryan Adams. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
But it was not your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really did up this time. Didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my dear?
Hey.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from Las Vegas.
We are at the Luxor Hotel and Casino, and to get here, we all took various modes of transportation. These drunk people took a bus.
They did.
Kevin and I flew in.
Yeah, we were lame.
Because we're lame. And I wish I had been on Kevin's flight.
Oh.
I wish Kevin had his own travel program on the Travel Channel.
Yeah.
Because you always seem to have some new adventure that you go through every time you travel.
I'm not the most organized of people.
What?
Yes.
I find that hard to believe.
So, behind the scenes, what do you guys know about my front right pocket? In general, besides the fact that Thicky's there, what else?
That's where you put all your little tiny pieces of paper.
That's where you keep everything you own.
Yes. Everything.
Yes. Yeah, whenever we ask Kevin, Kevin's very kind every morning. He'll usually buy us breakfast. And we say, Kevin, we need some money. We're going on a breakfast run. I go, oh, okay, let me get some money. And he just pulls out like a wad of like, there's like $1 million bill in there. And there's like $1 bill. And there's like $7 bill. I don't even know how he gets that. And there's some change. And
I print them.
And he doesn't have a wallet, so his license is in there, and everything he owns is usually in that pocket.
Everything he owns except for his identification card to get into the station.
That's right.
That's correct. I don't have
the key
that
card to swipe. Yeah.
So I'm running late yesterday. I told you guys that it was like 5 minutes before I was supposed to leave for work, and I realized, I'm going to Vegas, and I haven't packed yet.
And you're leaving right after the show.
Right. So I threw everything in my suitcase, threw, and I left the station, and I raced over to Burbank Airport. And I got there, and I was going through security. And the guy, an old guy, was standing there. And I guess, you got to put yourself in their frame of mind. They're trying to make sure that everything's safe.
Right. They don't know that you're not bringing in printer cartridges from Yemen or
right,
something.
Right, exactly. Filled with radiation. So I've got something in my – everything in my right front pocket.
That's where you keep everything.
So safe. Old dude says, I walk through the thing. It's fine. It doesn't go off. It doesn't set off the sensors or anything. But he says, what's in your pocket? And I said,
you say cash. It's just Thicky?
I didn't know.
just Thicky, man.
I wasn't that creative.
I hang to the right, you should have said.
I was about 15 minutes from the flight taking off.
Wow.
So I just needed to, get through this and move on and get my stuff and run.
Just punch him and run?
I needed to, right. So he said, empty your pocket. I was like, dude, it's just empty your pocket. So I pull out, some ones and fives, and they're all wadded up.
Now it's like a magic trick.
Right. But now I think he's starting to understand that I'm embarrassed and I'm kind of in a rush. So he, slows down and he's like, take everything out one by one and tell me what they are.
So you think he's just screwing with you now?
Yeah, now I do. I think he's just having fun at my expense now. So I pull out, a receipt and he says, what's that for? And I said, look, it's a Fry's Electronics. For what? I said, AAA batteries. Does it matter? I'm trying to catch a flight. You can see it's a receipt.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You're like Dennis the Menace. You're like a 7-year-old.
What's that? I said, clearly it's a Twix bar, candy bar wrapper. It says Twix on it. What do you do?
Why do you have that in your front pocket?
I don't know.
I have to save it.
So my elaborate
system. There's some jacks and a piece of string and a frog and a yo-yo.
Baseball cards.
Kazoo.
He makes me pull everything out, right? So. But I had written down, I always take a little piece of paper, just a little tiny piece of paper, and I write myself notes.
Yes.
So I had written myself a note. It was the last thing.
Empty front pocket? Was that what the note read?
No, no. But what it said in context of standing in front of the security was quite funny. And it was a TV show that I was upset that I missed, and we're going to talk to a guy about later today.
Oh, no.
And it's called The Walking Dead.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's a little piece of paper that says The Walking Dead. Now, it doesn't say TV show, it doesn't say AMC, it doesn't say anything, just The Walking Dead.
Right.
So the guy looks at me and goes, "What's The Walking Dead?" And I guess like now he's getting serious on me. So I was like, it's a TV show. It's just a TV show. It's on AMC. It's a great show. It's about zombies. He calls a guy over. Have you heard of a show called The Walking Dead?
Are you kidding?
Yes. What does he think does. You're going to do?
I don't know, but I had a piece of paper that said The Walking Dead, and he didn't understand it because he's never heard of the show.
He was watching you with a fine-tooth comb.
He was. Did he think The Walking Dead was some secret code for your militia group?
Like I'm a terrorist or something, and I've got The Walking Dead paper.
Well, there was that piece of paper also said Praise Allah on it. I think that's what really concerned us.
But literally, the guy called somebody over and he said, "Have you heard of a TV show called The Walking Dead?"
Oh my God.
The guy goes, "No."
Oh, great.
And then the security guard said, "All right, come on through."
Wow.
So
what a waste
of time. He thought that I was a terrorist with a piece of paper that said The Walking Dead and said, "All right, come on through." What kind of security is that?
Well, he knew you like Twix bars, so he figured you were safe.
You should either arrest me or stop me or something.
You know what, though?
Come on through.
They had another conversation. They probably said, "Walking Dead sounds bad." And then the other guy pulled him aside and said, "This guy's a bumbling idiot. There's no possibility."
Yeah.
I've been watching him pull out snails and baseball cards from his pocket. There's no possibility this guy's a terrorist.
Well, they let me through. I made the flight with about a minute to go. But we are going to talk to the guy who created The Walking Dead later today.
Yes.
I couldn't convince them of that. But I believe that is still happening on today's Kevin and Bean Show. So that's 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from Las Vegas. Ralph got another Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I need my mid-show snack.
Yeah.
Don't pick me up.
Yep. Sure. If I'm going to get through the show, I'm going to need a couple more of these.
It's Friday morning and time for the movie beat.
In a world someone has been watching, one man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
A lot of new movies in Cineplexes this weekend, one of which is the new film by Tyler Perry called For Color Girls. And this is based on a very popular play that ran for a long time. The official title, the full-length title, was For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough.
And they shortened
it. They wisely shortened it for the film version, yeah. Stars Janet Jackson, Whoopi Goldberg, a collection of very talented African-American actresses. Basically, it's a drama centered on a group of black women whose lives and experiences intersect at a 12-step program. Here's a little taste of For Colored Girls.
Have you been sleeping with?
You have no idea how much I hate coming up into this house sometimes.
You're saying a lot, Carl. You're saying a lot without saying nothing at all.
I'm sorry.
Save your sorry. You know what? I'm going to put a sign. A sign on the door. Better yet, I'm going to leave a voicemail. If you call to say you're sorry, then call somebody else. I got sorry greeting at the front door. You can keep yours.
So it's a comedy?
a rare drama from Tyler Perry. But look, the guy's just got a printing press, just makes money. Everything he touches turns to gold. So I'm sure this will do very well this weekend as well. Fair Game opens this weekend. Doug Liman directs, Naomi Watts and Sean Penn.
Oh.
As CIA officers.
All right.
This is based on the Valerie Plame investigation. Mm-hmm. Remember her? She was outed. And she was working.
Lesbian?
She was not a lesbian. No, she was working in Iraq. She was outed as a spy. She was working for the CIA. Valerie's husband, diplomat Joe Wilson, was drawn to the investigation. Naomi Watts plays Valerie Plame in this film. Doug Liman is the director. Here's a little taste of Fair Game.
Do not get out. If you get out of this car, I can't protect you.
Who are you?
Let go of my uncle.
Who are you?
Now! Information about your uncle. Contacts. Shipments. If you help us, we help you. If you don't, your brother dies. And tomorrow, you're sitting next to your uncle in a cell in Thailand.
Comedy? Spy stuff, Kevin. You love spy stuff.
It's a comedy?
It's not a comedy, no.
I do love spy stuff. Drama. That's true.
Now, this is a comedy. It's called 127 Hours, directed by Danny Boyle. James Franco is the star of a true story about Aaron Ralston, an American climber who goes rock climbing in Utah, falls into a crevice, and then a giant boulder falls and pins him into that crevice by landing on his arm. He's there for 127 hours, and then, of course, as we all know, the end of the story, had to take his arm off with a dull pocket knife in order to escape.
Cut his own arm off.
Yeah. That's a comedy right there for you. Here's a little scene from 127 hours.
That's it. That's all you
need to know. That's all I need to know right there.
You know that boulder hurt.
Let's lighten up the mood a little bit with Megamind, new animated comedy starring Will Ferrell, Jonah Hill, Brad Pitt, Tina Fey. It just looks like a blast. Great cast. Great pedigree. This comes from, I think it's the same people who brought us that other animated film we all love so much.
Sure. That one's good.
Here's a little scene from Megamind.
Over here, old friend. In case you haven't noticed, you've fallen right into my trap.
You can't trap justice. It's an idea, a belief.
Even the most heartfelt belief can be corroded over time.
Justice is a non-corrosive metal.
But metals can be melted by the heat of revenge.
It's revenge, and it's best served cold.
But it can be easily reheated in the microwave of evil.
Well, I think your warranty is about to expire.
Maybe I got an extended warranty.
Warranties are invalid if you don't use the product for its intended purpose.
How great is that?
That sounds great.
Brad Pitt plays a superhero. Will Ferrell is his evil arch nemesis, the genius Megamind. Check that out this weekend. And speaking of comedies, Due Date not only was the sponsor of the Kevin and Bean Singles Party this week, but also a very funny film in its own right. Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover and other hilarious comedies, presents Robert Downey Jr., Zach Galifianakis, and Michelle Monaghan in this road comedy where Robert Downey Jr., his wife, is expecting. She's going to have the baby. He has to find a way to get across country, and the only way he finds a way to do it is by hitching a ride with Zach Galifianakis, and they're stuck in a car together for the entire trip. Looks hilarious. Here's a scene from Due Date.
What brought you to Atlanta? Business or pleasure?
My daddy died.
Gee, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
He's the one that kind of motivated me to get on the TV.
I have a friend. He's in that industry.
Does he work on 2.5 Men?
No.
Man, that's too bad, because 2.5 Men is the reason I wanted to become an actor.
Right.
Especially the second season.
Why do you even have this?
Oh, because this is my daddy. These are his ashes.
Why are your father's ashes in a coffee can?
Because he's dead, Peter.
That's why he's in a coffee can, because he's dead.
Anything Zach Galifianakis is in, I'm in.
And Robert Downey Jr., also a great actor, and also can be very funny. So a lot of things to choose from. That's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, 735.
This is some operation you run here.
Whoa. This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from Vegas. Donald Trump, what are you doing here?
I'm here, Kevin, because I heard you were here, and you do the greatest radio program that has ever been on the air, that's ever been sent through the air and picked up by an antenna when I'm driving a car, and then I listen to it, I turn
it
on.
Have you ever heard it?
No.
Yeah.
I thought you were Ryan Seacrest.
It's not that good, I got to be honest.
I made a mistake. I came down here, I heard there was a morning radio show, I was hoping it was Seacrest.
I saw you on the news yesterday, you got your star on the Walk of Fame.
I got a star on the Walk of Fame, it is the most brilliant star ever to be placed on the Walk of Fame.
It's the same as all the others.
No, it is an actual star that has been lifted from the sky, from heaven, and put into the cement on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's the most beautiful star that has ever been placed on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and I could not be more proud.
Is this for your TV show?
For all my illustrious TV work? Yeah, no, it's a real estate star that they give you on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yes, they have a new category on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for real estate moguls.
Okay, so it's for your TV.
No, that's an excellent question. I'm glad you brought that up. You're fired.
Oh. You can't fire me.
Actually, I'm here at the Luxor because I'm going to make an offer. I want to buy the Luxor.
Okay.
I'm here.
We don't own it.
It's a beautiful facility. No, but I was passing by. Oh, I was on my way to give them a giant suitcase full of tens.
Okay.
And
how much total?
About $40.
Well, that's ridiculous.
It's just a down payment.
On a total of?
A lot more than that.
Why would you put four tens in a bag?
That's a good question.
Listen, buff boy, you're fired.
Couldn't you just put that in your pocket?
Listen.
What?
I'm going to make an offer on the Luxor.
Okay.
What do you think of the Trumpsor?
The Trumpsor's a terrible idea.
The Donzor.
Terrible.
I put a giant comb over that light on the top of, atop of the pyramid. And when we want to show the light, we just flip the hair over, and then the light comes out, and then cool. we flip it back over again.
You know, it's named the Luxor for a reason. You
What's the that? Reason?
I don't know. I'm sure.
No, I was interested in, to hear the history of the Luxor.
Why you let that fly by?
No, I want to know.
I don't know.
I'm fascinated to hear the behind the scenes of why they called it the Luxor.
Give us the Egyptian relevance, Kevin, please.
Yes, of course, it's the Egyptian relevance.
Tell me more about ancient Egypt.
I'm not prepared for that. So you're going to buy it.
They're giving an Egyptology star on the Walk of Fame.
They're not doing that.
You can get that someday.
They don't give any such
Kevin
thing,
Ryder, Egyptologist, put your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame right next to my real estate star.
Who is your star next to? Like, whose star?
My star is next to Slappy White.
I don't even know who that
don't
is.
Don't either.
He's a legend.
Who's Slappy
no
White?
Idea.
Who's Slappy White? Why does he have a star? Why does Slappy White have a star? That's weird. Donald,
why does he have a star?
You brought him up. Why? Donald, why does Slappy White have a star?
He's a legendary comedian, one of the funniest comedians ever, one of the most successful comedians
We've
in the history
never heard
of all
him.
Comedy.
We've never heard of Slappy White.
Well, I'll give you one of his CDs.
Okay.
Sounds like a sex move.
You'll laugh until you pee blood.
I don't want to laugh that hard. All right. So Slappy White on one side.
Yes.
The other side of your star is who?
Gabby Hayes.
I don't know who that is either.
He was Gene Autry's sidekick on the Open Range.
Okay. That's not a very... doesn't sound like a very...
clapped.
A very... That was Mike. It's not a very prestigious location is what I'm suggesting.
It is. It's right where the transvestite whores hang out.
Okay.
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of foot traffic. A lot of people are going to see my stars.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy was just there.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. All right. All right, well, congratulations, I guess, and good luck on buying the Luxor.
Good luck.
It has a very unique, it has a very unique history.
I'll give you a chance to Google that, and we'll get back to you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 7:49. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, live from Las Vegas. We are at the Luxor Las Vegas. We had our singles party here last night. It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
Yeah! Says drunk guy who was thrown out of the singles party.
Says the guy who was there for an hour.
Yeah.
Before he got thrown out.
He can drink. Or actually, he can't. He does drink, but can't really.
Correct.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Spider-Man news all over the Showbiz Beat this morning. The musical Spider-Man, which, by the way, cost $60 million to put together.
They've already spent that much?
That's what they've spent so far. $60 million on producing this film. Of course, famously, the music's done by Bono and The Edge. It was supposed to open November the 14th, go into what they call previews, which is like the show before the show.
Right.
And then open December the 21st for the lucrative holiday season on Broadway, but apparently is now being pushed back. It won't open until sometime in January.
When no one goes to plays.
Yeah, when that money dries up because everyone spent their money on holidays and
wow.
everything. So they're saying the show needs more work. They've been putting it together for like years. I can't imagine what more work it could use, but that's a bad sign. The franchise, however, movie franchise, is still thriving, and they've just added to the cast of that film. Andrew Garfield, of course, has been cast as the new Spider-Man. Emma Stone, his girlfriend Gwen Stacy. Rhys Ifans has been cast as the Lizard.
What's the Lizard's deal?
Yeah, what is his deal?
The Lizard? I'm glad you asked, fellas. Yes. I'm going to give you a little comic book school.
All right.
The Lizard is a scientist named Dr. Kurt Connors,
okay.
who lost his arm in an accident.
Did he cut it off when he was trapped in a rock?
He was trapped by a rock.
Yeah.
No, he lost his arm in an accident. And you know how some lizards and amphibians have the ability to regenerate limbs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
he was doing tests trying to capture that
I see.
Essence from lizards in order to be able to regrow human limbs.
Was he mixing his DNA with a lizard's
yes.
DNA? Okay.
And so he becomes like a half-man, half-lizard creature.
Now, I would imagine it'd be pretty hard to defeat him if he can just keep regenerating body parts. Like, you shoot him, he just... you know, regenerates it and stuff, right?
It's a good point, Mike. Thank you for bringing
point.
That in.
Yeah. No, he never really got the regeneration thing down. Instead, he became like a human lizard, like a 6 feet tall lizard.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
You know, he's got a big tail that he can knock you over with and stuff
Sweet.
And everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's not a very good villain.
Anyway, Spider-Man, of course, was created when his uncle Ben was killed by a dastardly criminal.
Good rice.
All right.
So stop it with the rice jokes.
Are we talking about Batman now?
No, we're talking about Spider-Man.
Oh.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Sure.
That's what his Uncle Ben taught him.
Right.
And Martin Sheen has been cast as Uncle Ben. Sally Field will play his Aunt May.
Wow.
And she will presumably be throughout the
franchise because that he lives with his Aunt May. And
it's good to see that she's working because she hasn't worked in so long.
That's right. She's had no TV shows or anything on the air. So Lisa must have left the room or else we'd be hearing from her.
Oh, what's the point?
We've just beaten her down so much.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the point? Madonna's in trouble with Kabbalah.
Uh-oh.
In Touch magazine reports that the religious leaders are upset with her flaunting her young boyfriends.
That's right.
They think it's inappropriate for her to be going around town with her boy toys.
Been doing that for 35 years or something.
She has. But apparently they asked Madonna to tone it down in October because she was flaunting her sexual liaisons. And she said no. In fact, she's been more open than ever about her new boyfriend, a 24-year-old dancer named Brahim Zaibat.
Transformer.
He sounds like a rabbi, though, so they should be happy with him, like Brahim Zaibat. Shalom.
She's going to get the evil eye now.
Yes, she will, but she's got her bracelet on, so it's
not
okay.
What you want.
And this is sad news. I don't know if you ever watched Storm Chasers over on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, the Dominator.
But Matt Hughes, one of the Storm Chasers, passed away Wednesday due to a fatal injury. Apparently, he took his own life.
Oh.
Yeah. The local police responded to a suicide call on May the 14th. Then he spent almost 2 weeks in the hospital before passing away. Hanging is listed as the cause of death. So
wow.
He suffered from depression and took his own life.
Thanks for the sound effect, Omar.
You've got to take the sound effect machine away for a moment.
You know how to spice things up. Give me the reggaeton horn if nothing else.
Ice Cube's got a new movie. He's going to be starring as a plainclothes detective who's quick on the trigger, it says here. It's an homage to 70s movies like Dirty Harry and Death Wish and that kind of stuff. Like, can you take Ice Cube seriously, though, after he did that RV movie and Are We There Yet?
I got to tell you, his rapping is still great, I think.
That's the truth.
I really think his rapping has not suffered at all from those Disney
family movies.
I agree. But it's like nobody that's hardcore ever saw them.
I can't take him seriously as an actor after starring in a movie that Fred Durst directed. Like, that's the absolute bottom of the barrel, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's true.
Bad Girls Club. One of the bad girls was apparently bad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
And
we
just
met one of the Bad Girls Club here just a second ago.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Philadelphia District Attorney's Office confirms that Katya Washington was arrested yesterday for illegally possessing cocaine, mushrooms, ecstasy, and a handgun.
Wow, she was ready to party.
She was booked on 5 different charges, including intent to manufacture and sell, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of an instrument of crime.
Yeah.
Her bail has been set at a whopping $500,000, and sadly, that will keep her from performing in Menopause the Musical, where she was starring.
<Is that right? laughs> She'll not be in that?
She will not be able to take that offer. She was looking forward to getting back on the stage. So
that's so funny to us.
Not going to happen. 98 Degrees fans all over the world will be heartbroken to hear that Nick Lachey is a taken man.
Are there 98 Degrees fans anymore?
Yes. Yeah, right over there.
Really?
Oh, look at them. They're beside themselves over there.
I don't see anyone with their hands up.
Nick Lachey is engaged to Vanessa Minnillo.
Oh.
They've been dating for a long time. And Us Weekly Magazine had their announcement. They said they're excited, incredibly happy, and looking forward to rubbing in Jessica Simpson's face.
Yeah. Is that right?
That's nice. That's
I hope that happens. I'd like to see that.
James Frank.
Just an update here. Producer Dave has been trying to log into Twitter for about a half hour now.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the matter
with you,
Dave?
What's wrong with you, Dave?
I'm not able to.
He's literally, for a half hour, he's been on the Twitter
I'm jumping
page.
Back and forth and I'm mixing up the passwords.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Ralph. I just had to give you that update.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? There's the reggaeton horn. Actress Tilda Swinton is 50 years old today. She's not a man.
She's a man.
She's a lovely, talented actress.
She's a good actress. Good actor, I mean. Sorry.
Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 23 years old today. Which one's he?
Woman.
He's the oldest.
He's the oldest, okay.
Right.
Is he married? Is he the one who's married?
He's not the Mexican, and I think he's like the
is he
guitarist.
The heavy brow guy?
No, I think he's Jufro guy.
A Jufro guy. Yeah. Okay. He's 23 years old.
Is there a Mexican Jonas Brother?
There's one that looks
one of them look like the
he looks like a Mexican Ben Stiller. The rest of them have like the Jonas Jufro and they're like kind of nice and cutesy, and the other one looks like a Mexican Ben Stiller.
Yeah, he looks like La Bamba's brother.
We can't hear him.
No, he's getting
so
worse by the second.
He looks like La Bamba's brother.
Still on the sign-in page for Twitter. You can't get in. Can't do it.
Why wouldn't it work?
Ryan Adams is 36 years old today, and Bryan Adams celebrates his 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Don't Bogart that joint, my
friend. Not yet.
Oh, come on.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from Las Vegas. Last night we had our big singles party.
Boy, did we ever.
Yeah.
We had a lot of conversation off the air about we were going to give away one last pair of tickets yesterday on Thursday show.
We played Lick Lisa for that honor.
Yes. And we had a lot of conversation beforehand, like who's going to be able to win at 7:30 in the morning and then meet the bus at noon and go and take a couple of days off? Like, there's no way that person will make it.
Yeah.
But we decided to do it anyway, and we gave away the tickets, and what are we calling him?
Slappy Brown.
Slappy Brown. Called in. He's a fireman. Yeah. And he was working all night. He was on his way home when he heard us.
And by working all night, if you're a fireman, it usually means cleaning a spaghetti pot or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless there's a fire. You're just
snapping somebody with a towel.
You're just hanging around the firehouse, sliding on your pole. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hey now.
So he's on his way home. He hears us talking about it. He says he calls up and he wins. And he's the guy that gets there. He was the first guy to the bus. He won at 7:30 yesterday morning. He was the first guy to the bus. He drank the whole way.
Yes, he drank the bus dry, and then was the first guy to show up at the party last night.
Yes,
and he drank the bar dry, and now he's here this morning.
Scary,
and he's drinking a giant schooner of beer.
And he's freaking Superman. He's got a trash can of beer down there. He's down in right now. I don't know how he does it, but here's what we know: people that get on the bus and start drinking hard, they pass out by like 3 hours.
It's a recipe for fail.
Right. And then when they get here, they go to bed and they don't wake up till the next day and they miss the party and everything. First guy at the party. And then he was drinking all night at the party. And then he's here this morning for the show.
Slappy, what's your secret? What's your booze secret?
Pardon me. I really don't have one.
You have to have a secret. I've never seen anyone put it down like that and be fine.
Do you just never stop?
Well, basically, it's practice makes perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So I keep practicing on my days off, and that's kind of the way
I work. I've never seen anyone like him before.
Slappy Brown, it seemed like you were having some success at the party with the ladies. Did that carry over to maybe a hotel room or something?
You know what? I was a good boy.
Why?
Yeah, this isn't about being a good boy. Not this weekend.
We invited the wrong guy.
Negative. Everything worked out the way it should. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Slappy
no,
was the guy.
We have no idea what you're saying.
We have no idea what you're talking about. Because
Slappy White does not like
Slappy Brown.
You're Slappy Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Slappy White, somebody else.
Yeah. Slappy was the guy on the bus with Dave, the King of Mexico, when they pulled into the McDonald's parking lot, said, I heard you think about McRibs. You should go get a McRib. You love them so much. And Dave went, oh, it's too far to go.
It
was like 25 feet away from the front door.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. At one end of the scale is Slappy Brown.
Yeah.
He can drink like a champ. And doesn't faze him.
Yeah.
He's still there. He's not like his head isn't like drifting down or anything. He's alert
and not like rowdy or angry either.
Nope.
Like even though he's able to hold, he's happy. He seems in good spirits.
Very cheerful drunk.
No. The only thing I end up doing is falling asleep.
You fell asleep?
No. That's the only that's my
that's the worst byproduct of your drinking.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yeah. Earlier in my life, I used to get angry, everything else. But now I pretty much fall asleep.
You just drink and you're fine. You fall asleep.
I pretty much.
At the other end of the scale is that dude right
Armo
there.
Armo Dave. Armo Dave.
That dude right there. Yeah. Now is he on your bus, Slappy?
Negative.
Okay.
Negative.
Come over here.
We got Slappy, and then we got Sloppy.
Yes.
Sloppy Brown. Come over here.
This guy.
Sloppy Hummus.
This is a guy.
Sloppy Hummus has been drunk for 48 hours. Hard drunk.
Yes.
Just sloppy, stumbling, just slurry, slow-eyed drunk.
Sloppy does not begin to destroy.
Now, Sloppy, when you showed up for the bus yesterday, you were drunk.
Yep.
When you showed up.
Yep.
Before you got to the bus, you were drunk. Okay. How long had you been drinking?
Since probably like 9, 10.
A.M.?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. By yourself, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
9 a.m., you're drinking by yourself.
Did he think that was a good idea, knowing you were going to get on a bus for 5 hours and drink?
Well, I mean... No, probably not. But it was a good time though.
Then he drank on the bus.
They don't think, Ralph. Why do you ask such a question?
So then he drank on the bus.
I did.
And this was a 6-hour drive on a bus, right?
So vodka. It was great.
Straight vodka. Okay, good. Yeah. And then you came to the party.
I came to the party.
And you were so out of it by the time you came to the party. Like you look in his eyes and you just see the alcohol.
Yeah.
Slappy Brown over there, sharp as can be.
Yep.
Slappy Hummus? No.
Nah.
Sloppy, I was, you know what? It was...
Thrown out of the party after how long?
For my first time for Vegas,
I'm sorry, what?
After how long were you thrown out of the party?
Yeah.
45 minutes?
I think I got kicked out around like 12.
Oh.
It was earlier than that.
Party started at 9. He was gone by 10.
Yeah, you were escorted from the premises.
No, I was.
Yes, you were. Why did they kick you out? I didn't even know the story.
Do you remember?
You don't remember it?
No. You don't remember getting kicked out?
No.
A blackout.
Okay, so what happened after you left the party? Do you remember
after you were escorted out of the party, what happened?
Well,
where did you go?
Apparently, I had to take a cab back.
What?
Apparently, I had to take a cab back.
Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
And then I walked around for a little bit. You know, after I found my feet, I was I walked around for
a cab back to the hotel that's next door to this one?
Yes.
Thank you for imagining that.
It's a 4-minute walk, and he took a cab.
It's literally just a tram ride away.
But then, after taking a cab, he walked around.
Yeah. Well, he got his feet back.
Where did you walk?
He wandered. He didn't know where he was.
Did you know where you were? Did you gamble?
I did gamble a little bit.
Okay.
I lost some money.
Right. You know how much?
A couple bills. It was
200.
Yep.
All right.
And then my alarm went off at 5 because I wanted to be here, and I woke up, and my friend that I brought, he was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm going to the broadcast." He's like, "I'm going to sleep."
Yeah, he made the right decision.
And you're drinking here at the broadcast pretty heavy.
Yep. So Sloppy came and sat right in front of us right here, and he's been just nodding all day. Like, he nods, yeah. And he pulls himself back and takes another drink and then nods. He's the opposite of Sloppy Brown. Sloppy Hummus, not good. Yeah.
So, Sloppy Hummus, you appear to be a pretty young guy. How old are you?
22.
Yeah.
See. And this is his first Vegas trip.
Wow.
By the way. 22. Yeah, right?
That explains.
What are you plotting for?
This is trial by
that
fire.
That explains everything.
But I said, how is this your first trip
to
Vegas?
Trial by vomit.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm 22. And I said, you don't have a fake ID? He goes, no. I was like, what?
But not everyone's like you, Kevin.
I was the Navy guy that called in.
Yeah, so I remember you because we talked to him about that.
Yeah, Lisa picked you.
Yes, thank you, Lisa.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, Sloppy Hummus, the worst choice we made. Yeah. Right? Lisa, the worst choice out of everyone.
Lisa's excluded from single party
That's
picking
correct.
Now.
But the right. fireman was my dude, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
We drew him out of a hat.
Close enough.
He wasn't your dude at all.
He randomly called in, and then we picked his name out of a hat. How is that your dude?
It was my game.
By the way, the dude Lisa wanted us to invite, we looked at his picture and said, no way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lisa sold it as, this guy's a really nice guy.
He is
and he's
a really
hot.
Nice guy.
And he's hot.
Yeah.
So right. we brought up the picture. And
it was
it.
The situation and with a leather jacket.
No, it looked like the lead singer from Midnight Oil.
Yeah. No.
Just like guy with like no eyebrows, shaved eyebrows, shaved head. He was holding a bloody machete in one hand and a human head in the other.
He may be nice, but the fact that he took a picture of himself in black and white wearing suspenders and MC Hammer pants.
Look.
It says
that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have him here than Sloppy.
Sloppy.
Because Sloppy was sort of a waste, don't you think?
Sloppy, you got any success with the ladies?
No, I can answer
not
that.
Last night. No. Not last night.
No. No, not last night. But maybe
what?
Tonight?
On the bus?
Hey, on the bus? He threw up on the bus.
After he threw up on the bus.
No, I did not throw up
Sloppy
on the bus.
Sloppy threw up on the bus.
I did not throw up on the bus.
Why are they? Aren't they just making that up?
Oh. Sloppy. There's a lot of witnesses, Sloppy.
There's a lot of girls out here.
Listen,
right?
You ought to take a cab to a hotel next door. I'm not trusting you on anything when you say.
Got kicked out of our party after 45 minutes.
Threw up on the bus, and then the ladies came a-running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're going to get lucky with all these ladies that saw you puke on the bus.
Nothing turns a lady on more.
For the record,
yes.
let me tell you. I saw Sloppy this morning.
This is Sloppy talking now.
He turned around and looked at me, and he says, "Hey, did you guys get kicked out of the party last night, too?"
He just denied remembering. He just said, I didn't remember getting kicked out.
Someone must have told him,
He looked at me and said, "Did you guys get kicked out of the party, too?"
Yeah, we all did. We all got
Everybody
kicked
got out.
I looked at him and go, "Oh, my God."
See, in his mind, everybody got kicked out of the party and then took a cab next door then walked around.
It was just Sloppy and Lacey Underalls, or the only two people got booted from the party last night.
The hottest chick there. Well, not second hottest chick there, maybe.
Yeah.
Kicked out.
And Sloppy.
Oh, no. She got kicked out because she was...
I know.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
She was fighting Snooki.
Oh, I know.
She was hot.
She was hot.
She was playing scissors.
You don't fight with Snooki. That's one thing you need to know.
If you take anything away from our single party this week,
Snooki would have beat her ass.
That's right. Yeah. Sloppy, congratulations. You're the man.
Thanks.
Sloppy, we never want to see you again. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from Las Vegas. We are at the Luxor Las Vegas.
Now the crowd's starting to show up.
People are starting
to wake up, one or the other.
This crowd of people are all the people that said, yeah, we'll be there at 5:30. We'll be there at 5:30. We're like, no, you won't. There are about three of them. About three of them showed up at 5:30. Yeah.
And you know what it is? People are drinking again, too. So they're starting to warm up, a little hair of the dog, and now it's a brand new day.
We have, as a guest now, Jay Rude. Am I saying that right?
That's correct.
Jay is, pull your microphone a little bit closer there, is the sports book director for 12 different casinos.
Whoa.
Yeah, one of the great things about Vegas, obviously, besides the gaming that you do at the tables and the drinking and the partying and the 24-hour atmosphere, is the legal sports gambling, which you really can't do, only in several different locations in the country. And a lot of people come here for the big sports events in order to put their wages down. And you, Jay, are you in charge of setting the lines? Is that what you do?
I am in charge of setting the lines. I establish the lines, and then from that point on, we manage the risk.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday. You guys who do this for a living have an uncanny knack for getting it almost always pretty close. How does that happen? What is that?
It is.
Well, take us through it. If you're looking at the game, for instance, Philadelphia Eagles Sunday are playing the Indianapolis Colts. I'm from Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's my team.
Right. And Philly's been a tough team to get a gauge on because every time you're switching the quarterback back and forth, that influences what we do with the number.
Okay.
Because one is distinctively different from the other.
I think the Colts are favored by 3 points in that game, if I remember correct.
That's it?
Two and a half. Right now? Depends on what shop you're
at. So walk me through that. How do you get to that number?
What are the
different variables that you look at when you're looking at a game?
Different variables. One, home field advantage, which is for the Philadelphia Eagles at this point, which is a very strong home field advantage for them. They're traditionally 2.5 or 3. So what that is telling you, if this game was played on a neutral site at this point, is it's a pick'em game.
It's straight up even.
Right.
Okay.
At this juncture of the season, which is showing that the Colts are a decimated team. They've got several injury issues that they're dealing with. They can't run the ball. So, but they still have Peyton Manning, which is always the most dangerous, threat weapon in the NFL.
But Philadelphia has
it's Vic this week.
That funny guy, Michael Vick. Yeah. Who is has been and will be I think for in the foreseeable future a very very good football player and is going to give Philadelphia the best chance to win that game.
But we look at that game and we say, I don't know.
It might be a touchdown. It might be 10 points or something. How do you get the three? Just because they're so evenly matched, it would be a pick-em, and you're just giving the home field?
Well, no. You go by power ratings. You go by our offense, number of offensive plays that they generate, number of yards per carry, number of yards per attempt.
Wow.
Things like all that stuff. You sort of put it in a grinder and come up with what your formula. Different guys give different values to different things.
Right. So it's sort of art.
Right.
Sort of.
It used to be back in 20 years ago, you'd go to places where everything wasn't so real time, and I would have an opinion on a game, and my value would be a lot different, so I would have maybe 4.5 on that game. And you'd go down the street, and the guys that didn't know what we were sitting at because they couldn't get on the internet and look at it, they might be at 2.5.
So
the gamblers back then had a big, big edge because they would run from place
back
to place.
Back and forth, put bets everywhere.
Yeah, and lay the 2.5 with this guy, take the 4.5 with me, and try and cha-cha the middle, and they love that. But now everything is real time. When I change a number, the guys in the Caribbean, the guys in England know like that immediately. So
everybody kind of watches.
Yeah, everything marketplaces out. It comes to a consensus, for the most
part. And what if you're wrong? Do you get killed?
Everyone always wants to talk about the wise guys and how they hurt you and the smart money and this and that. Those aren't the guys that really, really scare me on the weekends. It's these guys that scare me on the weekends that are putting in the parlay cards, the 7, 8, 9, 10 teamers.
Which is impossible to do, but occasionally will.
Occasionally you have the perfect storm to come together, and that's when you get the Pepto-Bismol out and the aspirin, and you just ride it out, and hopefully Monday morning you don't get a call from your boss that says, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's when you die.
Yeah, that's when call. You die.
Not die, just break a leg or something.
No, but I'm saying, what a lot of pressure.
Well, yeah, the mornings is the worst because you can start to see things unfold, and when things start to come together, and throughout the week, it's not that big a deal because you're just doing what you do. You manage money. It equates to sort of like a hedge fund. What I'm trying to do is squeak out a 3, 4, 5% profit for the company.
Right.
Manage the risk. I want to maximize our upside, minimize our downside.
We all want to do that. It doesn't work for us.
It doesn't work for me all the time either.
Let me ask you this: if you do 12 casinos, do you
Do you take, say, the New York to New York, do you put a line there that, like, the other team, Atlanta's favored by two so that you can balance it out?
No. Everything comes through. Whatever we put out goes to all the casinos.
So your line goes to all the properties that you work with, I see. So you're not massaging it in different locations.
Why wouldn't you kind of bet both sides that way?
Well, I would love to be able to do that, you know, because there's definitely different vibes at different properties. You know, a lot of, like, the Luxor and the Mandalay are California properties.
Right.
So, like, when USC is playing Ohio State, you know, it would be great to be able to bump USC a half a point at these properties where I know they're populated with a lot of California people.
Because you know they'd take it.
And, yeah, yeah, they would take it or lay it or whatever it is.
Why couldn't you? What's the...
ethics. You know.
Wait, are we in Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, you
I
know.
I don't know that word.
Well, then technically gaming, you know, says if you offer at one place, it has to be offered at all places.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, and that's
so
just.
So it's forced ethics.
Right. Well, kind of. And it would get, I mean, my mind would explode even more because now you're trying to, you know, manage two separate, you know, a guy could lay the 2.5 over here when you didn't expect them to. And now you're out of whack, and you know all kinds of middles and stuff would be working.
Yeah, it's probably hard enough to come up with one number, let alone several different ones.
Yeah, and trying to handicap who's going to be at the hotel and you know who's going
to
play what.
Well, I got
to
tell you, it's amazing to watch the line and watch the over under and all that stuff because it's usually, like Ralph said, right on the under over. For example, is always right there.
Yeah, well, that's you know especially this time of the year, fairly predictable. It's you know it's math. It just comes out. You know what a team does. You know what a team style is. You know how many plays they're going to get in. You know, where everything kind of goes haywire is when the fumble on the 20, you know, your own 20 occurs or, you know, those sort of things that you can't really, really handicap. You can sort of say, okay, well, they traditionally have one or two turnovers, and then that negates, you know, some positives that they have on their ledger. But, you know, those are really hard to handicap.
Haven't there been seems like this season particularly has been sort of out of whack when it comes to games.
Crazy out of whack.
Yeah, it has. And what is – it's sort of a transition season where the good teams are suffering, you know, from maybe some age and some injuries. And the teams that have drafted well and had high draft point picks are starting to float up a little bit. I mean, realistically, you know, Cleveland is maybe 3 or 4 plays from being – having a winning record
right now.
You know, and – the best team against the spread right now is the Lions.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and I have every week, everybody bets against them every week. So
with leagues that have, you know, parity like the NFL, where you really kind of don't know who's going to win on any given Sunday, is that easier or harder for you to pick a line than, say, like the NBA, where it's, you know, how much are the Lakers going to win by when they, you know?
Yeah, you know, you kind of can anticipate. So, you know, like on the Lakers and those, the, you know, the Heat and the Celtics, you know, You have to factor in the non-statistical side of it, you know, and factor in that people are just going to play him. And you know, I'm going to try and put the house in the best possible spot, but I can't raise it too high because that's when the wise guys join the party and say, you know, you've got a number here that doesn't mathematically, you know, equate to what should happen. And they'll come in and they'll take me off my spot. So the NFL is pretty easy compared to the NBA, one, because you're going to get a lot more volume. I mean, the volume is what, you know, drives the car.
Sure.
So, you know, anybody and everybody has an opinion in the NFL.
Right.
And, you know, not so many people, you know, they watch it, but they don't have, you know, as strong a following as a lot, most people do the NFL as the NBA. So, you know, the NFL is a little bit easier. And, you know, the unpredictable outcomes obviously benefit us because, you know, that's what we're looking for is very choppy, very unpredictable.
So you won a lot of money on Oakland the last couple of weeks.
Actually,
who could have guessed they'd win by 30 points?
The Denver game was very good for us. The game last week was a little bizarre because, you know, the wise guys, like I said, have been understanding Oakland's dynamic and that they're improving and that they can run the ball really well and their defense is playing really well. So, you know, that makes them an attractive proposition anytime they're getting points and like they were early in the season.
Have you seen a...
We need to take a break.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. We need to take a break.
I find this fascinating.
I know, me too.
I got lots of questions.
We have Jay Rood here. He is the sports book director for MGM Resorts in Las Vegas.
That's correct.
Correct. And we will take a break and come back on the Kevin and Bean. Oops. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from Luxor, Las Vegas.
We're in a great hotel. Looking great to us. Really appreciate it.
We have Gay Rude, who is the sports book director, and we're fascinated by this because we gamble a lot.
Yeah, and we love sports.
And we're not good at it.
And it's great to look behind the scenes of how much money is spent on sports betting every year. Jay, what's the biggest event of the year for you? What's the one sporting event where more money changes hands than any other?
Well, if you're talking about a pure sporting event and take out horse racing, obviously the Super Bowl is our creme de la creme.
Wait, horse racing is bigger.
Horse racing is bigger. Actually, today and tomorrow is the Breeders' Cup, and it is an international event. People from all over the world send their horses to come and compete on the soil here in America.
Oh, they do? Okay.
And
that's, do they wear the big hats?
Yeah, they do. They get all
dumb big hats.
Like they do at the Derby. The ladies show up in the hats, and all the guys put on their best suits.
What a nightmare that must be.
Yeah.
Have you gone to that?
No. And that's the unfortunate thing. I'm dying to go to a Super Bowl party sometime.
Oh, Super Bowl, yeah.
Or go to a Derby, I'm always working.
Sure, you're
working.
Super on the clock.
Yeah. I'm super on the clock.
Especially when those events are going on,
2:30 in the morning, I don't go, oh, man, mom must have passed away when the phone rings. I go, who's betting now?
All right, who has the best chance of winning the Super Bowl this year? You have to have that.
Currently,
a couple of choices.
Patriots.
Currently, right now, we've got the Steelers are the favorite on our board at 5-1 right now, and then right behind them are the Patriots, and then the Colts, Ravens, Titans, and then really an NFC team doesn't show up.
How far down is Dallas?
I put a fork in them, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Wow.
They're about 100-1 now. After being, at one point, about the second week of preseason, they were the favorite to win it.
I was going to say, before the whole season started, everybody was talking about Dallas and Dexter.
What happened with them? How did they fall so
It's far? Called Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry Jones. There's just too much stuff going on at the top. There's not enough direction, I think, in that organization. There's not enough autonomy to allow the coaches to, establish what they need to establish to, have a disciplined team.
We've seen it in all sports where you may have a tremendous amount of talent, but
on paper,
that's not the biggest ingredient on the recipe to success. It's, chemistry and coaching and things like that.
Well, speaking that's why I think a lot of people are talking about, the Heat.
What I was going to say. Speaking of which, Miami Heat.
Right.
How do you judge a team that hasn't played together? I mean, what are the odds that they're going to win the NBA championship?
Well, currently, right now, they're 8-5.
Are they the lead?
No, the Lakers got
to
be.
Lakers are 2-1 on the betting board. And the only reason that I have the Heat 8-5, and trust me, I believe the Lakers are the best team in the league, and I believe the Lakers will repeat again. But the problem is, if anybody, if you have the Heat right now above 2-1, you're just going to get Heat money hand over fist,
right,
which we have already been through.
Okay.
During the summer, I took so much Heat money that my eyeballs were popping out. I'm going, it's NBA season is over right now. I don't want to see NBA bets. But, they kept betting it. And then they were betting it like a futures market, too, right before the decision. They were hedging their bets. They were betting New York Knicks. They were betting the Chicago Bulls.
Every team he might go to.
They were pounding those teams.
Wow. How about that?
So the Knicks at one point were like 17-1 to win the NBA title.
That's
because
crazy.
My liability on them grew so big.
How's that working out?
Yeah, I like all the money that I accumulated on that.
Jay, have you seen a lot of increasing in MMA bets over the past couple of years?
Yeah, MMA has exploded over the last few years. But it's pulled back a little bit, because they've kind of saturated the market a little bit, and it's dried up the betting, unless it's a big, big card. And the card is here in Vegas. I was really surprised by the card last week with Lesnar and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Velasquez, we did really well to that. As far as handle does.
Who did you have to win that?
We had Lesnar to win it.
He
was a small favorite at -$1.40, but the public bet him up to almost $180, almost $2 at some point.
No kidding.
So there was a lot of money on Lesnar.
And then he got his ass handed to him.
Right, right. Which
Cain Velasquez kicked.
He should have the fight before, too. So
right.
I couldn't quite understand the backing of that. But, the days of the Tito and the Iceman fights, we need someone to step up. I was hoping, Cain Velasquez might be that guy because...
Yeah.
With his Mexican connections and everyone really getting into this and, all the young kids that used to go into boxing and now going to MMA, it's just a huge following. And
he's super likable, too. It's
not
like
he is.
It's not like he's an a-hole or something.
Well,
everybody loves him.
And Lesnar, I think, did himself injustice by, after being, a jerk, turn around and trying to be a super nice guy after that one fight with Carwin. He's like, I said, go with the act that got you there, That's the thing. I couldn't understand that. But MMA's huge. It rivals boxing as far as total handle force nowadays.
It does.
MMA went up, boxing's, retreated. There has been
not one single significant, you know, heavyweight bout.
Pacquiao? What about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, I want, you know, Pacquiao Mayweather.
That's what you
forget
want.
Forget about it. That's going to be a great, great fight.
Is that ever going to happen?
Well, it should, you know.
Well, I know, but
I think it will. You know, I mean, if Pacquiao takes care of business here against Margarito, which is not going to be an easy fight. Even though the odds, you know, we've got him about 7-1. Right now, he's actually 6-1 because we're taking a ton of Margarito money.
Hmm.
And if
we spent a ton of Margarito money last night.
Yeah, right. Margarito, what? Not oh, Margarito.
Very
Margarito.
Different. Sorry.
And if HBO is depicting the training camps as, you know, accurate, you got to think, wow, this guy is going to maybe have some issues because Margarito is training, you know, insanely. And Pacquiao seems to be jetting off to other commitments here and there, left and right, and not dedicating himself like he has over the last 4 or 5 years to get him where he's at right now.
He's singing duets with Will Ferrell instead of hitting the speed bag
and Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
Right, and campaigning for Harry Reid and doing whatever else, you know, and signing bills and whatever. He's prepared enough, and I think he will. I mean, Roach will have him. You know, Roach doesn't send his fighters in to get destroyed.
We're almost out of time, and I have one more question for you, Jay, if you don't mind. Where do you get your information from when you're putting these things together? Do you have insiders? Do you know the trainer for the Steelers, and you get a little something from him? He picks up the phone and gives you a little inside dope so you know what's happening?
I would love to. I mean, back in the old day, that was the way a lot of the networks worked and stuff. You know, guys knew guys that knew guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now we, you know, everything is, like I said, so real-time. Internet's, you know, everything is posted immediately.
What's the best site for people who want to gamble on sports to go to? With the most information that seems to be accurate.
Well, they should come to Vegas. Well, yeah, Luxor, I know. Is what they should do.
Right. No, I don't. Wouldn't encourage anyone to bet offshore. But
I'm not saying that. I'm saying what site has the best information.
Site, there's some good ones. There's like Vegas Insider, obviously, is a very good site. Covers is a good site for statistical information.
BlueWaffle.net.
Nope. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Don't go there. That's a horrible site.
You know, I like, you know, Fan House is good for some perspective on, because what I want to know is what they're thinking a lot of the times. So I like to look at public polls, you know, those polls that people go, hey, this weekend, Utah, TCU, what do you think is going to happen? And if I see, you know,
overwhelming
one way, I know what to anticipate, what to expect, and I can sort of manage my number and how I'm going to, you know, on Saturday morning, I might start ticking it up a little towards the public side, you know, to give us, you know, the best possible position to be in.
And for horse racing, you can go to Two Girls, One Breeders' Cup.
No, that's a very different site.
No, you can go there.
You don't want to go there either.
Mr. Hands as well. A lot of horse stuff based in that.
Can we get some kind of a tip from you where you will just between you and us, you can just email us.
Yeah, no one's listening.
Like, right. And then we can pick, and then we'll be geniuses.
A tip for...
No, I'm saying just a regular, like, email that you
send yeah.
to us personally.
Yeah, you know,
No,
I haven't started the Dennis Franchione newsletter, but you know, that might be something that, you know, right. A booster fund or something like that.
It was worth a try. Yeah. It was worth a try. Jay, very, very nice of you to stop by.
Thanks so much, guys. A lot of fun.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's 8:57.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a crowd and they're awake.
It's like a party.
People are showing up.
It's funny. They're just waking up and we're just about to go to sleep.
That's correct.
Yes.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We're broadcasting live from Las Vegas. We are at Luxor, Las Vegas, and Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
I know this may come as shocking news to you, but apparently Charlie Sheen is not exactly living a clean and sober life.
What?
Yeah. Even before he destroyed that hotel room at the Plaza in New York City, Lifestyle Magazine found out that he took a vacation to Belize last month.
Oh.
And according to other vacationers there, he was partying his little heart out.
And that means a lot when it's Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Well, he was entertaining 6 women at one time, apparently. They drank 15 bottles of wine at the table for one dinner?
Wow.
While onlookers watched in amazement.
Were they drinking it straight from the bottle?
Apparently, he was also drinking a considerable amount of Jack Daniels.
Wow.
So let me tell you how he feels.
If you have a couple bucks your name, which Charlie Sheen definitely does.
$2 million an episode? Yeah, he's
you
okay.
You don't vacation in South America or Central America instead of like the Caribbean or other, you know, typical vacation spots unless you're going to get tons of blow. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got tired of buying it on the streets in New York City.
You want him to bring it to you in wheelbarrows?
Straight to the tap, yeah, and just put your face in it like Tony Montana.
Yeah, apparently he was also, he's so rich, he was also hunting humans down there.
Is that
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
I know you could still do that.
Yeah, they put you in like a park or something. They let a bunch free and you just take them out with a bow and arrow. It's a new sport of the rich. Looking forward to it. David Arquette apparently also enjoying his singlehood. He keeps talking about wanting to get back together with his separated wife, Courtney Cox. But In Touch magazine spotted him partying last week, swigging champagne out of the bottle, dancing with several topless midget strippers.
Yeah! Woo!
You know there's no stripper like a midget stripper.
I never really thought of David Arquette as a baller.
Yeah.
But that guy really, no. Like, he goes
every
out,
story is apparently him nailing somebody else.
And nails everything that moves and then still is in contact and wants to get back with his wife and she's still talking to him.
Friends say the party didn't stop until the tiny panties dropped.
There it is.
There it is.
Because they're midgets.
Thank you, Omar. I appreciate it. Because they're midgets.
I'm sorry, Ralph. I didn't mean to step in before your punchline.
That's okay.
All right.
Sometimes comedy's better with a big gap in between the setup and the punchline.
All right. Thank you, Omar.
Kanye West beat a lawsuit filed against him by Suge Knight this week. A federal judge in Miami tossed the $1 million lawsuit out that claimed Kanye was responsible for Suge getting shot in the leg at a party hosted by Kanye back in 2005. The judge ruled there was no way anyone could have predicted that a shooting would have taken place.
I could have predicted that.
At a party with
was
Kanye
Suge
and
there?
Suge. Yeah. And Kanye also said Suge Knight does not like black people.
I don't.
Yeah,
true.
That's what he said.
I don't think he said that.
That's why he killed Tupac.
That's right.
I don't think that's true either.
Johnny Depp has announced his next movie. He's working with Tim Burton again in a film called Dark Shadows. It's
those
based.
Two just get married.
They do love each other.
Honestly.
Dark Shadows apparently was a daytime vampire soap opera that was on from 1966 to 1971.
That's so bizarre.
That's
sounding.
So much stuff Kevin hates.
It's so bizarre. No, but I love vampires.
He loves vampires.
Yeah.
But a daytime vampire soap opera just
it was
like
The Young and the Restless with vampires in it.
There's no way that existed.
It's Twilight, basically. It was Twilight before Twilight was.
Yeah. Huh.
It's soap operas with vampires.
All right.
He's going to play the lead vampire character named Barnabas Collins, and apparently they're going to start shooting in April. That'll be his first film up, and then he's got The Lone Ranger after that, so he's got that going on. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tilda Swinton is 50 years old today.
Man.
Man. What? There's nothing wrong with Tilda Swinton. She's fine.
She's a great
correct.
Actor.
Yeah, she's a great actress. Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 23 years old today.
Girl.
He's going to celebrate by not having sex with someone, so that's great.
It's going to be great for him.
Ryan Adams is 36.
There he is.
No one's clapping for Ryan Adams.
That's the applause for
I
Ryan
love Ryan Adams.
Adams. And Brian Adams, Canadian song star, celebrates his 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from Las Vegas. We are at the Luxor Las Vegas, and we're here for a singles party last night. But we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
I apologize, Robert. Is Robert on the phone?
Yes, he is. Hi.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing.
You
I apologize.
Have to forgive my friend Kevin.
That's okay, I forget what my last name is. Too.
Okay, good.
Kevin is not the comic book geek that I am, Robert. So he is not a he's not aware of the wild success that The Walking Dead, of course, was with Image Comics and your work on that. Just really, it kind of exploded. Did you expect it to be as popular as it was once it reached the comic book stores?
No, I mean it was always it's a pleasant surprise for it to turn out this well. But no, I mean I just really wanted to do a comic book and decided to do it. I had no aspirations of it actually being a hit. Most of the books I had done had been kind of failures up until that point. So
when did you start
definitely
writing?
A pleasant surprise.
When did you start writing this one?
I started writing it probably in like December of 2002, but it didn't come out until October of 2003.
Immediately, it was a fan favorite, and it started to gain widespread popularity. And another comic book geek like myself by the name of Frank Darabont also was a big fan. And how did that lead to turning into a TV show?
Yeah, you know, that's a really, it's not a very interesting answer. Unfortunately, Frank liked the book, called me and said, hey, I'd like to turn this into a TV show. And I said, holy heck, you directed Shawshank Redemption.
Well, that's right? Yeah.
So yeah, it was a very easy decision to make.
And apparently you guys shopped it around a bit, but it was hard to get it up and running until Anne Gail Hurd got involved, right?
Yeah. It was at NBC for a while, and then they realized that they didn't want to do a zombie show, which is always fun to hear.
Yeah, when your property's all about zombies.
Yeah, exactly. And then it kind of set in limbo until Gail Ann Hurd came along and said, you know, this AMC network, I think they might be interested in this. And then she partnered up with Darabont and made the thing happen.
How wild is it for you to see your creations come to life? I mean, the first episode, I've only seen the first one so far. I don't know how many have aired. Is this the first?
I think the second is
Sunday,
this Sunday,
right? Yeah, because it was Halloween night. How wild is it for you to see your creations come to life like that on the screen?
It's extremely bizarre. There were a lot of times where I was on set and I would just say, wow, I cannot believe that this is all around me and it's real. And, you know, Greg Nicotero does such a good job on the zombies. They look as real as they do on TV when you're in person. And that's just disconcerting.
When you write it, you have to see it in your mind, right? I mean, it can't have looked like it does.
It's definitely a weird thing to go from writing a comic book and then to see it, you know, alive and on television. It's far exceeded my expectations.
Now, I've heard from Frank and other people involved with the production, they say that your books have almost given them the template for what the show should look like. And even the casting, I mean, a lot of the actors look like the characters right out of your book.
Yeah, no, and that's actually a really bizarre thing because they really just set out to find a lot of good actors, but cosmically we ended up with people that looked like the drawings from the comic books. So,
now you've got a chance to try your hand at a little screenwriting yourself this season, haven't you?
Yeah, I got to write the fourth episode, so if that one is a little bit of a stinker, that's all my fault.
Hey, way to sell it.
I know it's going to be awesome, so I can be coy about it.
Okay, good.
Is that your first try at screenwriting or TV writing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's my first actual thing that got made. I've written some screenplays before, but they're all horrible.
All right. Yeah. Now, for fans of the comic book, and obviously, as I mentioned, there are so many of them, how closely is the storyline for the TV show going to follow what happens in the book?
It's all the high points from the comic book series make it into the TV show, but one of the best parts about the comic book series is that when you read it, you never know what's going to happen next. There's all these different things that are thrown in, and, you know, characters die left and right, and you never really know what to expect. And I really wanted to make sure that that's preserved for the TV show, even for people who are familiar with the comic book series.
Right.
And so the television show is going to have little twists and turns that are thrown in there that aren't from the comic book series, but all of the big, memorable things, all of the main characters do make it into the show, but there is quite a bit of variation.
Yeah, I was thinking it kind of takes some of the surprise and joy out of it for fans of the book, because if you follow closely, you probably know what's coming up, but it's good to know that you guys are throwing some curveballs in there.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some surprises in there for people that are big fans of the comic book series.
Now, I heard a rumor that Shane, the character Shane, is going to be sticking around a little bit longer in the series than he did in your books, right?
Yeah, John Bernthal is just such a great actor. You know, once we got him on set, it was like, we can't get rid of this guy. We've got to hold on to him for a little bit longer. One of the cool things is that Frank is able to look at my comic book series and see a lot of storylines that I just kind of glossed over and kind of plowed through. And he's able to take them and say, you know what, there's some more merit to these stories. I'm going to expand this a little bit more and get a little bit more in depth on it. And the Shane storyline is something he's going to be doing that with.
Now, have they offered you a role on the show yet? Have you tried out your acting chops? Have you get to play a zombie or something fun like that?
I was going to play Rick, and then once they, that's the main character. And then once they didn't give that to me, I kind of got a little pouty, and I wouldn't do a zombie cameo.
I'm not doing a zombie, no.
No, it's all or nothing.
Forget you.
Exactly.
Well, Robert, I'm a huge fan of the comic book series, and the series, the TV series looks like it's really doing justice to your work. It must be a very exciting time for you. Congratulations on everything that's happening.
It's pretty awesome, yeah. Thanks a lot.
It's great. It's on AMC. It's on Sundays at
10 p.m.
And it's called The Walking Dead, and it's a fantastic TV series. And we appreciate you calling in, Robert. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 9:43.
You're much too kind. This has been a horrible show.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show live from Las Vegas.
We are just as tired as it has been bad.
Time for the last Showbiz Beat of the Week. Here's Ralph Garman.
We got some stuff to talk about. Rihanna. Jetted across the globe to say farewell to her country's leader. She hopped a plane to Barbados to attend the funeral of Prime Minister David Thompson, who passed away.
Oh, he's good.
She wiped away tears during the service after paying her respects. Oh, I see. Can't go to Katy Perry's wedding, but she can go to Jackie McDouchebag's funeral.
I don't think
that was his minister. That was his nickname.
Okay.
Jackie McDouchebag.
All right, I didn't realize.
If I was Katy Perry, I would be cheesed off.
Yeah, no kidding.
Then I'd play with my giant boobs.
You realize Katy how happy you are to
That's
have them?
That's what I'd be doing. Yeah. Speaking of giant boobs, Kim Kardashian in
Glendale.
The news. Just this week, we talked about the fact that she has decided she wants to be a singer now. She's made a gajillion dollars from her reality series and from her clothing lines.
And now she wants to be a performer. And she was in the studio working on a new album. And I can't believe it happened so quickly. But the new single that she's been working on has already been leaked on the internet. We had a copy of it. We got it this morning. So you might be interested to hear a little taste of the latest Kim Kardashian song. It's called Shake.
Yes! Yes, Omar! Yes!
I thought I was safe. Nope. Kevin's here. Nope. He has no access to the soundboard. I won't have to hear that damn Chacarone song.
I was thinking to myself, if Omar doesn't play that song, he's fired.
All right, we work, Omar.
We really do have Kim Kardashian, though, and here's Shake.
All right,
but really, no.
All right, enough. Seriously.
All right,
here
it is.
All
right, here's Shake. Here's Shake.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Move it. Isn't that Madagascar song? It sounds like the little lemurs should be singing this song.
I'm going to tell you right now that song blows, but the video is going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's going to be softcore.
Right.
She's no worse than all of those girls who sing all those songs.
Of course. That was so
auto-tuned.
Better
than when I whip my hair back and forth.
Yeah. Don't start talking ass about her.
Why?
Because she does good stuff. I whip my hair back and forth.
This is an interesting list.
Well put, Kevin.
Willow Smith. Is that what that means? Yeah. She does good work. Whip my hair back and forth. That's what you called her.
You know, it's a comic book, so when you draw, it's different. Not what it is.
Interesting list from Forbes magazine. Sometimes they talk about the top 10 highest earning stars, the stars that you get most bang for your buck. If you pay them a salary, you get a return on your studio. Your audience, you know?
Right, sure.
This list is very interesting. It's the most overpaid stars. It is the worst return in terms of box office receipts for how much money they pay these actors to be in movies.
Jennifer Aniston has to be at the top of that.
She has to be on there.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Jim Carrey.
Yep, that was the first guess.
Yeah. For every dollar he was paid, his films only earned $8.60.
That sounds good.
It's not good.
Oh, okay. You got to compare it to people like Vince Vaughn who make like $40 on the dollar.
Okay. Yeah. Adam Sandler is 9 on the list. Vince Vaughn, for every dollar he was paid, his films earned $8.35.
Really? Okay. God, I was totally off.
You were off.
Way off.
Where's the rest of this list?
Ralph is now.
Vegas is catching up to us.
This computer is not working well. There's a lot of people on that list, I'll tell you. There sure are.
A name that came to mind at least recently would be Tom Cruise.
Some of the names will surprise you, I bet.
Hey, Ralph.
Just fail. Number 7, Matt Damon.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
Drew Barrymore was 6th on the list. For every $1 she was paid, her films earned an average of $7.45.
She should lose weight.
Tom Cruise, you're right, Psycho Mike. He's 5th on the list. Seth Rogen.
Oh.
Was 4th on the list. Denzel Washington was 3rd on the list. Eddie Murphy was 2nd on the list. For every dollar he was paid, his movies only made $4.45 back.
Okay.
And Will Ferrell.
What?
Is number 1 on the list.
What?
He's had some pretty high profile flops as of yet, like that Land of the Lost movie.
Well, that wasn't good, but everything else was great.
But it cost a lot.
That was an expensive film.
Yeah.
Will's movies earned only $3.35 for each $1 he was paid, so... So don't hire
like
Will
him.
Ferrell. That's what we're saying.
Don't hire
Will
Ferrell
right out of Hollywood. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, should we?
Please.
Yes. Yeah.
Kevin Jones of the Jonas Brothers is 23 years old today. Ryan Adams, Psycho Mike's favorite, is 36 years old. Brian Adams from Canada, he is 51 years old today. And Famke Jensen. You know Famke Jensen?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Easy, Dave.
She was a Bond girl in the X-Men movies. That's my computer. You're slamming that bell down on top of there, Dave. Good work, producer Dave.
Well done.
When you were slamming it with full force, my
Dave
laptop
seriously
was
seriously hit
right
it like a strongman game. Like he was trying to prove how hard he could hit it.
Yeah. Famke Jensen is 45.
What's your name, Ralph? I'm sorry.
Famke Jensen is 45 years old today. Tilda Swinton is 50. Actor Sam Rockwell turns 42 years old today. Let's go home, shall we?
Let's go home.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you to the Luxor for having us. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thank you for everything.
Thank you to Due Date.
Due Date also, one of the sponsors of our singles party. We really appreciate it. It opens today with Zach and Robert Downey Jr.
And on Monday's show, we have Florence and the Machine performing live, and we have Tom Morello in the studio.
So nice.
That's Monday morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Let's sing this song and put us out of our misery.
Let's.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over me.
Do you smoke pot?
Yes, I do.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Do you smoke marijuana?
Yes.
Pass it over me.
There are things like bongs, that's B-O-N-G.
Roll another one.
Marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it.
Just like the other one.
I love weed. I love it.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Marijuana, cannabis sativa.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Weed, grass, pot.
Roll
another one. Hot party. The trippers, the grasshoppers,
just like the other one.
The hip ones, all gathered in secrecy.
This one seems to be about cent.
And flying high as a kite.
I don't have another cent.
Oh man, I'm f***ing stoned. I'm the one smoking marijuana, motherfucker. You got a problem with that?
Just pass it around. But a bug that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Ain't you glad you stayed?
Isn't it over, Sam?
Is what over?
It's over. Don't you think it's over? You're fired.
Sometimes I lie awake at night and I ask, when will it all end? Then a voice comes to me that says, right after the credits.
This is not the way that we wanted this conversation to go, so I want to ask you to leave. Step out, please. We're done. We're finished. We're finished. Do I need to have somebody come physically remove you? Stand up and leave, please. Thank you.
What did you do?